If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hispanics were gifted in family structure. And you can see a Hispanic person, and they could put 20, 30 people in one home. They were gifted in the family structure.
You're a douchebag. I don't do well with douchebags.
When you look at the Asian is very gifted in creation, creativity, and inventions. If you go to Japan or any Asian country, they can turn a television into a watch. They're very creative.
Thanks for nothing, ass face.
We loaded enough booze on the beer for the entire city of Las Vegas.
A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
Dude, don't do that, dude. Ow, dude, stop that. Dude, ow. Dude, I'm not kidding. Dude, I'm not fooling around. Dude, stop that, dude. Ow, dude, don't do that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Let's shine.
This reminds me of that old saying. You idiot.
Roll. Roll another one.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Just like the other one.
The best tonic is chronic.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
I love to get high.
But don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around.
Smoke weed.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Marijuana is delicious.
Pass it on down.
And now.
Oh, a little weed, you know.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:32, and it's Friday, the 16th of Blovember. So, obstruction of justice and perjury, good or bad, if that's the federal indictment against you?
Bad.
I don't. What are you referring to?
Barry Bonds.
The great Barry Bonds, ladies and gentlemen, who finally gets his, we hope.
Oh, fantastic. What happened?
Well, that's the news we've been waiting for. Yeah. Well, they've been investigating. They got all these other people. I mean, it seems like they got a lot of ducks in a row. They have, you know, plenty of other people around him, business partners, an ex-girlfriend who, you know, are testifying to, yeah, I saw him injected with steroids.
Wow. Which some of the ducks
saw him?
That's
some
weird.
And then they spoke.
They play hockey, and that doesn't seem like they would.
No. Ducks in a row. Just an expression meaning they have things lined up to present as evidence.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about. I couldn't be more pleased. Mike, I know you're with me.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it.
So where was this to ruin his moment last summer, though? That's what I want to know. Why didn't this indictment come down when he was one home run away from setting the record?
I'm thinking it could have. And the people involved didn't have the balls to do it then.
Just because they thought the outcry would be...
Yep. And it would just be too much, too soon. And they finally just waited till kind of the fever around his home run record died down. And now it's time.
So what?
Also, let's not forget that the biggest witness involved in this, his personal trainer and supplement provider,
yes.
And I'm doing
uh-huh.
the quotation marks, was released from jail yesterday.
Yes.
Coincidentally.
Oh.
But is unlikely to testify against him because it's his childhood best friend who went to jail because he wouldn't testify against Barry Bonds. So, unfortunately, he's no help. But don't you think they have plenty of other stuff, though, Mike, even without that dude?
I think so. I mean, this Victor Conti guy, who is the now infamous owner of Balco Labs, is more than happy to talk about it.
Right.
And
got the guys who wrote the book.
Mistresses.
Who have sources.
Mistresses, journalists who wrote the book. former players, they are more than happy to tell people about how Barry Bonds loves steroids.
Now, what are the charges again?
Perjury and obstruction of justice.
Oh, that's good. That sounds good.
Which, by the way, if we know from watching any kind of news, not just, you know, sports, but any kind of news, that's what hangs you up. Yeah. Oftentimes, look at President Clinton. That's right. What gets you impeached is not what you do. It's that you lie about it in front of a grand jury. That's where you get hung.
He's getting hung?
William Hung is there?
Barry Bonds! You know, a smile wouldn't hurt, Barry.
That's a good point. Anyway, I just couldn't have been happier. I got the little text alert on my phone yesterday that said Barry Bonds indicted, and I was just so happy to
see
that.
You got a text alert of that. Do you have, like, a Barry Bonds clicker that updates you?
It's actually, KNX has a news service where you can get breaking headlines to your phone.
I've never seen anybody that has to be more on that than me.
Nope. And he's sitting at his computer when he gets it.
He does. He's already on the website when it comes to his phone.
Yeah.
I was actually at the movies when it happened.
Oh,
as a matter of fact. So I was actually out of the house and away from technology. So
did you jump up and run out of the theater to get your text?
You know, I didn't. I waited till I got out of the film. I didn't even take it out of my pocket because, you know, I don't like to be that guy who has the little bright screen in his lap when people are trying to watch a movie. So
did you also get a text message that Frosted Tips is looking like he's going to sign a deal for $275 million with the Yankees?
With the Yankees, exactly, yeah.
Who's Frosted Tips?
I don't know.
Alex Rodriguez. Remember all that about how the Yankees weren't going to talk to him?
Right.
Well, now it looks like he's going to play for the Yankees.
He opted out. Oh, and they're going to talk to him. Are they giving him more money?
What are they giving him, Mike, compared to what he asked? Way less than he was asking for, right?
I don't think so. I thought he was making $25 million a year in his former contract, and he looks to sign a deal that would be $27.5 a year.
But remember, he said he wouldn't talk to anybody for less than $350.
Yeah, you're right. It's less than he was asking, but it's more money than he was making, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Unbelievable.
And of course, he was, you know, accepting all these offers from other teams because it didn't look like he wanted to be Yankee. And the Yankees were saying, well, you know, Alex is probably not a good fit for us right now, and we're looking to go in a different direction. But turns out everybody wanted A-Rod. You just can't say that.
Well, the Angels, I thought, were going to get him, to tell you the truth. So, look at all the World Series they've won with him, man. How can they let that go?
Oh, wait a second.
Like to see Barry Bonds go down, though. That's a great story.
It sure is. It doesn't matter whether you hate sports or baseball or not. He's just a bad person who should be in jail for 30 years. So.
You like to see bad things happen to bad people.
Definitely.
You absolutely do.
How much jail time could it really bring?
30 years.
Oh, they'll never put him in for
That's the outside.
Years,
no, of course not. Of course
but a
not.
Couple would be okay.
But it's nice that he's facing that, yeah.
You know why sure they're bringing is. The charges, though, right?
Why?
Black.
Racist?
Yeah.
He'll say that. You're absolutely
that
right.
That is exactly what he'll say. He will claim that's the only reason the white man's trying to bring him down. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. That means we have the movie beat today. Ralph,
tell you about it. Good new movies opening up today.
What did you see yesterday, Bean?
I went to finally, I know I'm the last man in America, but I finally saw the Darjeeling Limited.
Oh.
I haven't seen it.
You've been waiting to see that one for a long time.
Well, I love Wes Anderson, you know, the director. He's done such a great, I mean, the cast, you know, Adrian Brody and Owen Wilson and Jason Schwartzman, Angelica Houston. I mean, I had to see it.
And
I'm glad I saw it. It's not a great movie, but I would recommend it on the DVD or the TV or the Netflix.
Okay.
It's not a great movie, but it's entertaining.
All right. Also today, we are going to talk to Morgan Spurlock, who has a new movie out called What Would Jesus Buy?
That sounds fun.
What Would Jesus Buy? Believe it has something to do with the holidays, which, by the way, we're hurtling toward at an ungodly rate. This is crazy.
You're
next
not
week
kidding.
Is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Also on today's show, we're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano. He's the guy that does The Red Zone on DirecTV's Sunday NFL Ticket. And talk about this weekend's games, find out what's going on with him. We have Ask a Mormon today.
Yes.
Wow.
7 o'clock hour.
I haven't read the story yet. I will before he gets in here. But apparently, you know, Mitt Romney is running for president, running for the Republican nomination. He's the first serious Mormon candidate, I think, that's gotten to this level. And apparently yesterday they found some of the other campaigns making anti-Mormon calls in Iowa. Basically just kind of fanning the flames of how weird the Mormons are.
Some of the other campaigns are doing that.
Yes. So it's great timing that we had Ask a Mormon in because there are people who have a lot of questions and a lot of suspicions about any faith that they're unfamiliar with. They all seem wacko except the one that you believe in. That's the one that makes sense, right? Because you believe it. So it's interesting that we would be having him in. I'd be curious to hear what he thinks about that and what kind of discrimination he may have run into from being a Mormon.
My thing is not worrying about the religion. Like, for a long time, I thought, well, that's just ridiculous that people would think about not voting him because of his religion. Then you start finding out things, and then you realize, you know what? It's whenever you come up against a religion that you have difficulty finding out what's going on behind the scenes.
That's secretive.
Yeah, the secretive part is what throws me.
I think that might be the biggest issue for a lot of
people. Because the Catholic Church, you can check out what Catholics believe,
sure.
Jewish people, Christians. For the most part, you can kind of tell what – but when you get into these denominations or these religions that you really – there's not information and they won't talk about it, that scares me.
Yeah.
Scientology. Also on today's show, we have tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. We have a new game. You know how those go. We're going to tell you about the Drought Busters in Southern California.
Driving around in their Priuses.
Driving around their Priuses, handing out tickets for what? Using little
for
water?
Watering off your sidewalk.
I don't know what they're doing. And also, Santa Claus can no longer be fat and can no longer say ho, 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 because that's offensive.
Wow. That's going to change Christmas.
Good times. A skinny Santa that says, hey, hey, hey.
Hey-o.
What could go wrong with that? So that's all coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. I'm not sure how we got so late already, but boy, do we have to get right to the showbiz beat.
You know why?
Desperately late.
You know why?
Why?
Baseball talk.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
In freaking November.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Hours and hours of baseball talk.
I think the Barry Bonds story was worth bringing up, as he's a very prominent, famous, high-profile athlete who was indicted yesterday. That was worth bringing. I'm not the one who got into contract talk with A-Rod. That was Psycho Mike. You can blame him for that.
Who joined in?
How much did he make, Mike? Was it as much as he was asking for? I seem to remember it was $350 million.
No, Bean, it was. He's getting more money than he was getting.
That's how it sounds to you?
That's how it sounds when you're driving in. Drawing and barking. That's all you hear.
I've got something that will cheer you up. Hit it, Steve. As you know, today is Friday. Thanksgiving is Thursday. That means Wednesday is the call to the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Ladies and gentlemen, only 5 days away.
Thanksgiving, ooh, Thanksgiving. Turkey things are going to happen.
Turkey things.
Gobble, gobble.
Sing it if you know it.
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window.
Hey.
Thanksgiving cooks. Behind a tree. I wish the pilgrims could sing, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plane.
I think what the problem is that Kevin has a bad memory, so he doesn't remember what the bit is when we call the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Ralph, explain to him how it works.
Dear God,
it is
I remember.
The highlight of the K-Rock Kevin and Bean season when Bean and I call the Butterball Turkey Hotline, which is a helpline for how to cook your turkey at Thanksgiving time. And Bean plays a farmer, a novice farmer, who has a live turkey, and he's trying to get advice on how to slaughter the turkey and prepare it for Thanksgiving. And the turkey's running wild inside of his house while he's on the phone. And the Butterball Turkey Hotline operators are just confused.
Because that's not what they're there for. They're there to help people prepare a turkey in the oven, like how to cook it. They don't realize that I'm trying to catch one, and that's out of their scope of knowledge.
See, and then chaos ensues.
Now here's the part:
hilarity follows shortly behind.
Here's the part that they're not telling you, besides the lie of chaos and hilarity, is that the Butterball Turkey Hotline operators never, ever, 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 never believe it. They know it's
a
goof.
Always believe it,
and
they're perplexed by us.
It's so crazy, not funny that I want to stab myself in the heart with anything I can find.
Then why do the kids insist on
it
every year? Why am I already getting emails from saying, tell me what time you're going to call on Wednesday because I don't want to miss it this
it's
year? Why is that happening?
You know how Ralph says, hey, how do you guys always call foreign countries? That never works. This works less.
This always works.
This hasn't worked one
funny.
Single time, and it's never been funny.
It's a gem.
Ugh.
You don't know, man.
It's a gem of poo is what it is.
It's a gem, and you just can't. You have no vision.
That's a good comeback, right?
Good band. Yeah.
All right.
Good band.
Gem of poo, by the way, will be here in the 8 o'clock hour before we leave. All right. It's 5:50 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on?
Well, the writer's strike continues here in Southern California as well as in New York. And in a desperate attempt to remind people he's still running for president, John Edwards has decided that he's going to join the picket line of striking TV and movie writers outside NBC Studios in Burbank today.
What?
So he'll be out there.
Why?
Standing with the Withers.
Is he in the Writers Guild and we don't know about it?
He's not. He's a man of the people. And he wants to show that he is supporting the WGA.
And there are TV cameras there.
And how hungry are you, Kevin, that you have to eat during the showbiz?
No, it's gum.
It's gum?
It's just gum.
It's just gum.
I'm good.
It's a mess. So you can go down to Burbank today and say, hey, John, didn't you used to be running for an office or something? No guy's getting less attention.
That's true.
Ron Paul gets more.
Yeah.
He was almost our vice president, for God's sake. So now just no one cares.
I'd be angry, I think, if I were the writers, if he's going down there really just to take the cameras away, just to step in on their spotlight for a second and go, hey, what about me? I'm running for president.
I think it's a mutually beneficial situation. A lot of extra cameras will probably show up because he's there, so they'll get their attention and he'll get his, and everybody gets everything.
Keep hope alive.
Portia de Rossi and Ellen DeGeneres are reportedly considering adoption, according to the Post-Chronicle.
Oh, good.
They said that Ellen thinks it would be selfish not to adopt as opposed to having a natural-born child, and says they're not quite sure when it will happen, however. Portia and Ellen both agree, though, if they're not happy with the baby, they can always give it to Ellen's hairdresser.
Because that went so well last time.
So that way, you know, someone will take care of the kid.
Does Ellen understand it would be tough for her to have a natural baby? A naturally conceived baby? Does she understand that? Does it work that way?
Well, I think they mean by someone else donating the sperm.
I see.
I'll donate.
If Ellen's carrying?
No, Portia.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah. Well, I hope Ellen would carry. I hope Portia, you know, use her eggs, but give them to Ellen, right? You don't want to screw up Portia's body.
Want her to remain pristine.
Yeah, but then you get, what if it's a girl and you get Portia's genetics? Then you have another hot chick in the world.
Good point.
And then you, instead of Ellen.
Good point.
But he said use her eggs.
Yeah, use her egg, but make Ellen carry it, because who cares if Ellen gets fat?
So you take some hot guy's sperm and Porsche's eggs and then insert it into Ellen's body.
That's what Bean is saying.
Yes.
That's what I said about a minute ago.
I'm sorry!
Look, are those headphones turned up? Do you listen to the show at all?
I don't know if you've watched
lately. Are you still thinking about A-Rod's contract?
I'd like to hear more about it.
Michael's sitting in the back of the studio and read a magazine half the time.
I know, I've seen it.
Yeah.
You suck.
It's good.
Because I suck. Okay.
All right.
That's the reason you're bad. Because you're
a lot of
suck.
Good, a lot of good comebacks coming from that side of the room today.
The gem of poo and I suck. Britney Spears' camp has a new excuse as to why she tested positive for methamphetamines in her most recent random drug test.
Now, this is the third?
This is the third explanation. Oh, no. Forget those other two drugs we mentioned. She has attention deficit disorder. She's got to take Adderall. Which is commonly prescribed for ADD.
Right.
And according to her people, it skews the test. And it pops up as a type of amphetamine, but it really isn't.
Well, don't the people who administer the drug tests know all about these things?
Of course they do.
What shows up and why?
Of course
they do. And why
drama
do they keep
queen.
She is a drama queen,
coming up with new things that she's taking that might have caused
it? How many
it?
Swings do they have to? How many bites at the apple do they get before
Okay, wasn't that? All right, how about this?
What drugs do simulate methamphetamine in your test, by the way? We're just
that's
curious.
What she's taking. Whatever it is, she's taking that.
Adderall, by the way, is also the drug that supposedly a lot of celebrities who got super thin were taking without a prescription.
That's right, because it is an upper, in essence.
Kills your appetite.
That's why it works on kids who have ADD, because apparently their chemistry is set up that if you give them a stimulant, it actually calms them down due to their body chemistry. So.
How about that?
But she's way too fat to be taking Adderall.
Maybe she just started.
All these things they claim. She takes inhalers, asthma inhalers to lose weight, and Adderall to lose weight. Why isn't she losing any weight?
Yeah, there's no weight being lost.
She should take the not Taco Bell drive-through drug, whatever drug that is. Speaking to her fat ass, she ran over another paparazzo yesterday.
Yep. Good times.
They were taking photos of her, and she gunned her Mercedes over some guy's foot outside the Beverly Hills Four Seasons Hotel.
I am 100% on Britney's side for this. I don't care how many of them she runs over. I think they all deserve it.
Wow.
Well, there you have it.
They crowd around her car to the point where it would be very difficult to drive away and not run over somebody's foot.
So far we know Bean is in favor of rape.
That's
He's
correct.
In favor
no,
of armed robbery.
Not at all.
And hit and run. These are all
nope.
crimes he finds no problem with whatsoever.
That's correct.
He's in favor of those. Sir Ian McKellen says he would like to see an autobiographical musical made about his life. You know him, of course, from the Lord of the Rings films and also the X-Men movies.
He's a great actor.
A classically trained British Shakespearean actor originally, and now he's just become sort of a big movie star. But he said he would like to see a musical made about his life and see Justin Timberlake play him.
He was kidding.
Or maybe play with him. I don't know
yeah,
exactly what he was
more
saying.
Like it.
But no, he says Justin reminds him of a young him and thinks he's very talented. And he's got an ass for days.
Is that what he says?
That's what I said.
No. I don't believe Justin has shown the acting chops yet to take on a role like that.
You know, he's in that new Southland Tales, which I can't wait to see, from the director of Donnie Darko. This new bizarre film about the post-apocalyptic time here in Los Angeles. And they say he's very good in that. And I thought he was very good in Black Snake Moan.
That's
too,
what I was just going to say. He was in Black Snake Moan, and he got rave reviews from everyone.
He's a pretty damn good actor, surprisingly. And I'd like to announce my war against Japan.
Hey!
Again?
Once again, I am declaring war on the country of Japan.
Hey!
What happened last
time?
I'm
going to need a little help here. If anyone has an extra plane or two I could borrow, I'm going to need, and some bombs. If you have a plane and some bombs,
okay.
Shoot me an email, ralph@krock.com, because I'm flying over and I'm going to start dropping some bombs.
What's the problem with Japan now?
Japan has issued an arrest warrant for Hayden Panettiere.
What?
Oh, how dare they?
They have issued a warrant for her arrest. You know why? Because she tried to save some dolphins.
What's the
charge? How is that illegal?
Local fishermen regularly killed the dolphins, and she took to the seas on a surfboard trying to keep the fishermen's boats away from the animals. They were surrounding the animals on surfboards trying to keep the fishermen from killing them.
Right.
And they said that was illegal.
And how?
I guess she was obstructing death or something. I don't know what the charge is.
Dolphin death,
yes.
All right, I'm getting in the plane with you.
Thank
Ralph.
You. Lisa and I are going over, and we're going to drop some bombs. Here we come, Hirohito.
He isn't really running the country anymore.
Oh, really?
Don't trust the yellow man.
Interesting.
Good call.
Of course, people speculate that the authorities will probably not come halfway around the world to retrieve her. But she's very happy that she's getting so much media coverage regarding this because she said it's a great way to expose this problem of what they're doing over there in Japan. She said it's nice that an actress gets PR for this as opposed to not wearing underwear or going to rehab. She's got a point. Hayden said she'd
work to the wise. Remember Pearl Harbor.
Hayden said she'd do it all over again, by the way, regardless of the repercussions, and is actually considering the idea of revisiting Japan.
Wow.
Well, it'll be safe when you go back, Hayden, because I will have bombed the crap out of that country.
When's that going to happen?
They're going to think Godzilla came back when I'm done with them.
Oh, look, here, Ralph is bombing us. Run, run.
That's what they're going to say in the streets.
They're going to know it's you?
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Probably paint on the side of my plane.
It'd be a bat plane.
That's right, man. So how dare they? That's all I got to say.
I agree.
And in more strike news, Broadway's been hit, too, by a strike. The Stagehands Union has walked out, which has just brought Broadway to its knees. By the way, a lot of Broadway spends time on its knees as it is. but they're desperately trying to solve this. They're going back to the table today for another round of negotiations. How about that? A strike where people actually talk to each other.
What do you mean negotiations? What are they doing that?
What are they doing that?
I'm not familiar with the two
sides. Both sides of the strike sit down and try to hammer out their differences so everyone can go back to work.
I thought you just hid from each other.
No. This is a new way of trying to settle a strike.
Huh.
See, the thing is, it's crunch time for the producers because the weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas bring in the most tourists to New York, and it is the biggest time of the year for Broadway shows, bar none. That's when they make them a great majority of their box office ticket sales. So they're desperate to get this thing settled before Thanksgiving. So,
Lisa, do you cry yourself to sleep every night thinking about all those plays that aren't being held?
It makes me very sad, and all the people that go there and have no idea, no clue
that there's
a strike.
No, that's funny to me.
They're like, what?
Let's go see cats. I want to go see cats. What do you mean there's no cats?
All the way to New York. They've been planning it for 3 years.
Yeah, no clue.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
So hopefully it'll be settled. It was $25 million made during Thanksgiving week alone last year.
Wow.
In terms of box office for Broadway, so you can see why they're desperate. Today's celebrity birthdays, Maggie Gyllenhaal, very talented actress.
Oh, yeah.
She's 30 years old. You'll see her in the upcoming Dark Knight, the new Batman movie. She plays Christian Bale's love interest in that film.
I don't know that I'd give the bell.
Oh, Maggie's so sexy.
Maggie's adorable.
So sexy, too.
She's adorable. You ever see that Secretary with her and James Spader? Where she's crawling around with the mail in her mouth being all spanky?
No.
Listen, you guys, we tell him this every time. He's not going to see it.
I saw the one that she uglied up for, though. Where she was a drug addict.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, right. She was a knocked-up drug addict, right?
Yeah,
riding a bus. What the hell is that name?
Cherry Baby.
Cherry Baby, that's it, yeah. Lisa Bonet of The Cosby Show turns 40 years old today. Diana Krall, beautiful and talented jazz singer, also Elvis Costello's wife, is 43 years old today. And Marg Helgenberger,
Yeah.
Who I just think is one of the hottest redheads on television. At 49 years old, she is still just sexy as hell. She's, of course, on CSI. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, what's the problem here?
We do have a very angry listener on the line right now. Meredith is on line 4, and she is calling from somewhere in Midget Valley. Hi, Meredith. Good morning. You're on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Are you guys kidding for real? I mean, you cannot be that obtuse, really.
Kidding about...
Kidding about using the midget word, perpetuating it. I mean, really, you can't be stuck in the dark ages that much, or can you?
Pretty sure we can.
Yeah.
I mean, well, are you guys aware of how utterly demeaning that word is towards little people, or are you just not?
I don't think we probably do understand how offensive it is to little people.
Although I think they get that it is offensive.
You know what? I would love to come in and give you an education. How do you feel about it?
Hey, now you're getting somewhere.
Ask a midget.
I don't think that's what she means, Kevin. I don't think that's what she means.
Ask a midget.
I think she's pretty clear she doesn't like that word, too.
Oh. Let me ask you this, Meredith. In all honesty, I'm very curious the answer. Don't you kind of decide whether you're going to be offended by that word or not? And if you're comfortable with your size, it's not going to bother you. And if you decide you got a big chip on your shoulder and you hate tallies, then you decide you are going to be offended by it?
You know, that's such an unbelievably ignorant question that I don't even know if I can dignify that with a proper response. But the answer is no.
Okay.
I don't decide. You decide by using that word in a really offensive way.
But there's no way you can't be offended by it. In other words, the word is so heinous to you that you cannot let it roll off your tiny little back.
First of all, the word is not just heinous. It's inaccurate. And the fact that you continue to just use short puns is just like such frat humor. I'm so shocked that you guys can't do better than that.
Have you ever heard this show before?
Why don't you give me the opportunity to come in? I mean, I do.
That sounds fun.
I would love to do that.
That sounds like a good time.
Meredith, they're all about frat humor. You listen to the show, right?
Actually, I don't listen to the show.
Well, that explains it.
Then let us tell you, we're all about frat humor.
They are.
Well, you know, it's not funny.
We've heard that before.
Meredith, since you don't listen to the show, just for your information, I don't know why you called today, but just yesterday we were talking about how much we would like to own a midget. It's not like we're against midgets.
Oh my God.
That's why I called in today, because I got about 7 phone calls from people that did listen to your show and were utterly outraged with the fact that you believe little people should be owned as pets.
They're kidding, Meredith.
There's nobody big enough who could put a collar around my neck and walk me around town. See, the point is that midgets are bite-sized. They're people McNuggets. You can actually have them because they're small enough that you can keep them in the barn.
Oh, Bean. Why are you doing this?
What? Am I wrong?
I'm wrong.
Midgets aren't small, right? I'm wrong.
How wrong? But I'd love to tell you that to your face. Why don't you call me Fun Size and all these names that you have?
Oh, good. We didn't do that one yet.
I would love to see you do that.
All right. Meredith
is going to kick somebody's ass.
I like Meredith very much, though. Why not Ask a Midget? We've been talking about wanting to do Ask a Midget. Meredith, would you come in and field questions from our listeners to find out what your experience is like as a little person?
See, you are capable of using that word. Congratulations. You just used the appropriate terminology. So if you continue to call me a little person, then yes, I would be happy to. But if I come there and you continue to call me a midget, then no.
It's awfully tempting to call you a midget, though.
But do you think you could just
without
doing that?
But it's tempting because you're being so obstinate about it. That's what's tempting about it. Because
Here's the thing, Meredith.
Get that upset over, so it's fun.
Meredith, these guys love to push people's buttons.
Right.
And as long as you continue to get agitated by them, they will continue to do
it. We can't help ourselves.
If you saw me in person, do you watch the show Boston Legal?
Yes, and you're very good on it.
Okay, so then obviously you know who I am.
Yes.
Okay, so I think that if we were face-to-face in person in an intimate setting, I would challenge you to see how many times you would call me that word, because I don't think
that
it would
happen.
Face-to-belt
buckle, let's be honest.
Meredith, you don't know Bean.
Listen.
If you're asking that question.
Listen, really it's only, I'm telling you the
I
truth out.
I stick with Mark and Kim.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, dear God.
It's only funny to us because you're so outraged by it. If you weren't, it wouldn't be that much fun.
Right. If they can't get a rise out of you, they don't get a kick out of doing that to people.
Well, you know, I don't subscribe to that
philosophy.
I think,
but they do. We're not asking you if you do. We're telling you
you don't have to do it on your radio show.
But we're saying that when Bean says, why don't you choose to not be offended by it, that would make it go away a lot quicker than calling us a bunch of names and stuff, because now it makes us want to call you a midget more.
Well, but then where do we go from there?
All right, I'll tell you where we go, Meredith. We're almost out of time, but I'm glad you called. Ask your owner if you can come in, and we'll do
Christ.
Ask a little person. No, I said little person, Ralph. What do you
want to say? You also said owner.
And we'll do Ask a Little Person, and you can give us your side of the story, and listeners can call with questions.
Okay, I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Sounds like a party. As an aside, Meredith, I thought you were really brilliant in that episode of House where you played the mother of the girl who was size challenged and you're working on. That was a great episode.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
Very talented actress.
Thank you.
Glad you called, Meredith. Thank you very much. We enjoyed it.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
See you later. Bye-bye. I don't want to own that one, though. I'll tell you that.
You know, we haven't seen a lot of Mayor V. Ragosa since the marriage scandal, the marriage and girlfriend scandal broke. But every once in a while, he does poke his head up and talk about something that's important to him. And right now, it's water conservation. I guess Southern California is in very, very bad shape with the water right now. Hasn't been much rain in the last few years. So he's introducing the Drought Busters program. What's this all about? How's this going to work?
Six full-time customer service employees employed by the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power will travel the city in Toyota Priuses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to drive around and watch for people who are wasting water. So, for example, if you're cleaning off your sidewalk with water, they'll pull over and write you a ticket. Now, the ticket has no financial. You don't have to pay anything or do anything.
Yeah, they have no enforcement power.
It's just a, hey, how about using less water ticket? And supposedly that's going to help.
Do they wrestle you to the ground and beat on you or anything like that? Or they just say, hey, stop it over there?
They embarrass you.
They don't wait till someone's there to see it. They just
ass. Don't you know we have a drought? There's a problem.
Is that what, how
they're wasting water?
So they use strong language
yes,
then? That's the Drought Busters program that Mayor V. Ragosa was talking about.
Who drives an enormous SUV,
I might
point out.
Sure.
Well, we've got him on the line. Producer Lightning lined up, the mayor of the great city of Los Angeles. Mayor... What is that? What are you driving right now, Mayor V. Ragosa?
Hey, what do you think I'm driving? Driving a Prius.
Really?
That doesn't sound like a Prius.
No, it does not.
You'd be surprised how fast these things go, man. Jeff, you're starting off Yale, man. Anything goes fast.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, you know... What was that?
There's a gun, stupid. What do you think it is,
sorry.
Huh?
But why are you driving down the road shooting at things? What's that all about?
Time to bust some droughts, man.
No, you're a drought buster?
That's right. I'm proactive as the mayor. You know what I'm saying? I'm not some kind of guy who just sits back in some office, man. I get my hands dirty. You know what I'm saying? I'm proactive.
You know, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind my questioning this, I heard you at a press conference yesterday. You sounded like you spoke English about it as well as I do.
Listen to me.
I don't recognize your voice now.
I'm just being myself right now.
Okay.
You know, I'm being my natural self, okay?
Okay.
You know, when I get in front of the microphones, okay? Mm-hmm. When I get in front of the photographer,
right?
You know, I got to pretend to be some weirdo bitch.
I see.
You know, to please the masses.
I see.
But I'm a man who came up from nothing, okay? Uh-huh. I beat myself up by my bootstraps to be where I'm at today. I'm the mayor!
Right, okay. Less shooting and more listening, Mayor. Why are you so out of breath? How exhausting is it to drive a car?
Hey, when you're going 114 miles an hour down a city street, it's exhausting. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
All right, so let me recap here. So you're one of the drought busters. So there's six full-time customer service employees that are driving all over, and they're looking for people who are using the hose to clean off the sidewalks, that are watering their lawns in the middle of the afternoon. You're trying to get people to keep their gutters clear, make sure their leaks are fixed. And all this information you think is going to help deal with the water shortage.
That's right, okay? We got a serious problem in the city when it comes to water, okay? We don't have enough power for the entire city, okay?
Right.
So people need to mind the P's and Q's and take care and be responsible.
Now, is it true that one of the things that you're writing tickets for are restaurants that serve water to customers unless it's specifically requested?
You got to ask us. They give us the water, okay? They can't just give it to you, okay? You got to ask them.
Okay.
In fact, you know what I say? I'm driving around the city in my Prius. Okay? I'm looking for people I need to take care of.
It really doesn't sound like a Prius. I thought the Prius was
pretty
quiet.
Are you a specialist, huh? Are you a team of driving? You don't know nothing.
No, not really.
Okay? But they're quiet, though. Those are quiet cars. That sounds like a race car that you're in.
I added an exhaust system, okay? Put some glass pads, okay? Edelbrock intake,
okay?
Board and stroke. You'll be surprised what you can do, okay?
Okay.
And took it down the Chewy's Chop Shop. They know what to do.
Listen, all right. Yes.
First things first.
Okay, Mayor.
I know that entertainment industry and broadcasting is the best way to get in touch with the people.
Okay.
So I made a song for all the radio stations.
Oh, okay.
Especially yours. I even sent a copy over to Lightning. I think you got a copy
That's
of it right now.
That's what I have here.
Okay.
You want me to play it now?
Play.
Okay.
If your faucet's on, when you brush your teeth, who you gotta call? Drought Busters! If the sun put on, in your neighborhood, who you gonna call? Drought Busters!
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Think I got my message across?
That's a hell of a theme right
sure
there.
Is.
You better believe it. Listen to me. I'm trying to let everybody know. If you don't go green, you're black and blue.
Okay, but...
Okay?
Mr. Mayor,
Oh, wait, hey, hold on, hold on. This guy's got a sprinkler, so hold on.
Oh, no.
Whoa. All right, shut that, shut! Hey, what are you doing? Yeah.
Did you just beat someone up? Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I thought you were just handing out tickets.
No, man.
That's what the story said.
You gotta send a message, okay?
Well, the story said you just write a ticket. There's no fine.
Yeah, okay. I gotta do what I gotta do in the press.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying behind the scenes? You gotta handle your business, okay? If anything, I know how to handle it.
Now, who are you shooting at?
Okay.
Who was that?
Who were you shooting at? A pelican.
Yeah,
why
shut up.
Shooting a pelican?
They don't fly.
So you hate them?
Yeah. Oh, wait a second.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. This guy's trying to put out a fire. His house is on fire. He's trying to put it out with a hose.
Well, that should be... Of course. That should be fine. Hold on a second. Let him put the fire out. Machine gun fire?
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, what do you want him to do when his house is on fire? Of course he's going to use water to try to put it out.
You better start blowing.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he okay?
No, he's dead.
You killed him.
What, too much?
Well, maybe, yeah.
Not a lot of water. I'm saying is there's not an excess of water.
I see what you're saying. All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
If your faucet's on, when you brush your teeth, who'd you gotta call? Drought Busters! If there's some poor dog in your neighborhood, who'd you gonna call? Drought Busters!
Yeah, okay. So yesterday we talked to a chick at about this time that runs a website called The Resident.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a little bitter, a little angry. We didn't like her stuff much. She didn't like us much. It's kind of how it went. And that's what this call's about.
I hate waking up at 5 a.m. every morning. I hate idiotic posts on YouTube. I really hate Psycho Mike's storytelling anytime he's on Kevin and Bean.
Sure.
It's really annoying. But you know what I especially hate? I hate bitter bitches who are too stuck up for their own good. Oh, but I really love Lisa May.
I don't think it was a love match. I don't think there'll be a second date with us and the resident.net, to tell you the truth.
Speaking of not a love match.
Midget, 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 midget. Midget, 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 midget. Little person off. I mean, midget. Midget, freak, you're small, freak. Midget, 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 midget.
Dude, be careful. You'll get that chick from Boston Legal calling you, too.
I just wanted to call to see how excited Kevin was for night two of K-Rock Acoustic Christmas.
I can help you out with that. We have the answer right here.
Well, we're super excited about the tour. This is going to be fantastic.
Yay. You've heard these medical commercials that tell you if you have an erection for more than 4 hours, you need to go to the hospital or contact a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Not for this guy.
Hey, if I got an erection that lasts more than 4 hours... I'm going to start making some more phone calls.
That's one way to go.
You don't want it to go to waste.
I hear that it's very painful, though. That's been the complaint about the priapism, I understand. It sounds like on paper it would be cool. Like, what's the downside? But those who experience it say it's not fun.
I'm sure there's a deaf association somewhere that'd be really pissed off at you guys if they could hear you.
Yeah. It's Friday, so we play our Don't Bogart That Joint song. And I got to tell you, this listener, I think, has stumbled onto something, because we can't be funny to everybody all the time. We try. Lord knows we try. But we just can't do it. But if you would follow this guy's example, we would be great all the time.
Hey, guess what? I smoked so much pot today. You guys are funny. I like you guys. You guys are funny, man. I'm loving it. I don't know what else to say. What kind of funny? I love it. Funny, funny people.
So we can't up our game. So if you would smoke out, that would help.
That's what it takes. Sure,
it's almost that time of year again.
Gobble 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 gobble.
Next Wednesday morning, can't wait.
Hey Bean, I'm listening to you, and you're not happy that it's your birthday. Well, as a listener, allow me to say none of us are happy that you were born yet. Happy birthday. No, I mean, die.
Wow. How are you going to come at me like that?
He's just trying to give you what you want, which is no stress. He's not asking you what you're doing. He doesn't
okay.
care.
Yeah, that's but what, is die, is that what, is that the right direction?
I think that's what you would like. He's just hoping that you get what you want.
Yep.
Am I right, Lisa?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if you guys play a Thanksgiving spook song again, I will burn K-Rock to the motherfucking ground.
Not the first time you've heard that, by the way. And the guy who has the right idea for playing this song, we should be burned to the ground. It's the worst song ever.
Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, ooh, Thanksgiving.
Why do you hate the holidays?
Turkey things are going to happen.
I know, and I hate it when someone says turkey things are going to happen.
Gobble, gobble. Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree. I wish the pilgrims could sing, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plane.
Gobble. I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. That's see? What we got going on here.
See, this is why you people are going out of business.
One day, if you're a girl, you look in the mirror, and there they'll be.
Yeah.
Instead of a flat chest, two bumps.
Yes.
These are the beginnings of your breasts. And they're not there just to look pretty.
Well,
they're useful, too.
They're so useful. You can get a job. You can get a husband. Oh, you can do so much with those
but
things.
But they're also there to look pretty. Let's not discount that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Let's hear that big jingle for Miss Double December 2008. We're up and running right now, taking your submissions, and we're very, very close to the deadline if you'd like to be considered for next year's girl. Ty Ming.
Well, Mike had no idea we were going to talk about that here, just because he said we're going to talk about it here.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Take it if you know it.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Boobs.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
So if you want to walk in the footsteps or the bra prints of Christy and Yasmin, Veronica, Bridget, Melissa, Lauren, all of our previous Miss Double Decembers, we are up and running at krock.com right now. There's a submission form. And I guess, Ralph, we're changing things up. We're making it bigger and better this year, right?
We are. We're going to have a talent competition for the first time ever in this, our seventh season of Miss Double December. And we will be recording the talents of the 10 finalists and putting them up on the website. And then we're having a giant Miss Double December pageant. A live event the listeners can come down to as we interview and parade about on the catwalk the 10 finalists.
Fantastic.
And at the end of that show, we will be crowning Miss Double December. It's going to be very exciting.
The deadline for submissions is this coming Tuesday at 10 a.m. after our show. So between now and then, if you want to enter or you have a friend that you know wants to enter, make sure that they are aware that Tuesday is the deadline.
Okay. And you go to krock.com, click on the Miss Double December link, and you'll see not only pictures of all the previous Miss Double Ds, but also some new video that we just put up. And I guess this is what? This is Lauren and Melissa, two previous Miss Double Ds that are making out, right?
Well, no, this is
new video?
This is a Dodger Day when we were sitting in the right field bleachers.
You guys interviewing her.
We
in the
were
bleachers.
Interviewing Lauren, and then Christy and Melissa sit down.
Okay.
Two,
there
and,
you go.
And they end up kissing. I don't know how
that
happens, but it just does. So
that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So go to krock.com, click on the Miss Double D link in the Kevin and Bean section for all the details, whether you want to apply to be Miss Double D 2008, or you just want to look at pictures of pretty girls. You can do both. It's 6:52 Friday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
How would you like to be on Big Brother? Yeah, Big Brother's coming back. Big Brother.
Doto is what I have to say to that.
Big Brother's coming back, and they're casting tomorrow for people to live in the Big Brother house over there on CBS. If you'd like to attend, it's tomorrow from noon to 3 p.m. at the exclusive casting studios. That's the name of the joint.
Okay.
At 7700 Sunset Strip. No, Sunset Boulevard. 7700 Sunset Boulevard, Suite 200, Los Angeles, California. Go down there if you'd like to be interviewed to be on Big Brother. They're bringing it back early because of the strike, you see.
Sure.
So we're getting more Big Brother than we'd usually get, which is just good news for us all.
Well, it's a quality show.
Maybe all the channels will play it at the same time.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great? Couldn't get away from it.
Every channel had Big Brother on it. Death to Japan!
Now,
yes.
Why do you keep saying that?
Death to Japan!
That seems a little extreme, don't you think?
No.
Okay.
They're an ally of ours. We're friends with them, right?
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Hi. Hi, December 7th. What am I doing?
Well, that may have been...
I'm sleeping. Oh, what are they doing? Dropping bombs on me!
Okay, but that's over now. We're way past that.
We are not friends with dolphin killers.
That's right, Lisa May. Apparently, they're over there just having a gay old time slaughtering dolphins. Nice work, Japan.
Now, that's where Hayden Panettiere went to kind of...
That's right. She paddled out on a surfboard to try to get herself between the killing fishermen and the native dolphins they were slaughtering. And now Japan has issued a warrant for her arrest.
Saying
that her actions were illegal.
We're not going to hand her over. How about that?
Yeah, why don't you come and get her, Japan?
Yeah.
I'll kick your scrawny little short ass right back to Tokyo, Mr. Moto. Bring it. Bring it, Hirohito. I'm not afraid of you.
I don't think he's...
He's not the emperor over there anymore?
I don't think so, no.
Whatever.
Prime Minister.
How dare they issue an arrest warrant? Why don't they take a look at their fishermen who are slaughtering scads and scads of dolphins and say, maybe this is the problem, not so much beautiful actresses on surfboards. Maybe that's not so much the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph, I'm in no way defending the practice. Please don't misunderstand.
You love rape, you love armed robbery, and you love dolphin killing.
But what I'm saying is, in Japan, the dolphin killing is legal, and what Hayden was attempting to do is not, and maybe that's their complaint.
Here's the thing, though. Do yourself a favor. Go to SaveJapanDolphins.org. And take a look at what these fishermen are doing. If they think everything's so above board and everything's so wonderful, why are they covering these coves in giant tarps so no one can take a photograph of what they're doing?
Exactly.
Why are they chasing off the documentary filmmakers with sticks wrapped with barbed wire and threatening their wives and children? Something's hinky about this, and they don't want it to be exposed to the international community. Because they want to keep selling their dolphin meat, which is already tainted with mercury, by the way. And the dolphins they don't kill, they sell them off to SeaWorld and these other joints that have Swim with the Dolphin programs. It's brutal.
So it took Hayden for Ralph to stand up for the animal slaughter.
I had no idea this was
God
going
bless
on until Hayden, brought it to my attention. And now I am on Hayden's side, and Japan must be brought to its knees.
Yeah. I think I'm with you. I think I'm actually with you now.
All right.
Good.
You might be threatening something a little too big, though, Ralph. I'm not sure you could pull that off.
Well, Kevin,
I'm just saying,
dream big. That's what I say.
I'm saying it may
be
too big.
Look, we have all the people from Heroes to help us, and
they have
magical powers.
If Kevin was running this country back in World War II, he would have said, Germany's powerful. I guess I won't fight back.
Oh, let's lay down. Here, Mr. Himmler, take my hiney. That's what he would have said. Nice work.
Quitter.
That's bullshit.
My country. Love it or leave it. And then go kick some other country's ass. That's my new slogan. F in Japan.
It's not really all of Japan.
F Japan.
I know, but it isn't all of Japan.
Well, you know what?
It's a couple people.
It's enough of it.
All right.
That we got to take them out.
just a couple of them.
I want to see that island sunk.
Okay.
Big smoking crater where Japan used to be.
It's a little extreme.
If you look out the right of the plane window, you can see the whole where Japan used to be. That's what I want pilots to say as they fly over the Pacific.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
Well, maybe for you. Not for me and Hayden. All right?
People who care about the world, maybe that's not extreme.
Maybe you're into animal slaughter, Mr. Satanist, but not me. I don't like to see animals slaughtered. I feel better.
Okay.
How about a rock star getting thrown out of rehab? Usually they're being dragged into rehab. Well,
for bad behavior?
Literally, yes. Queens of the Stone Age, they were performing at a California rehab facility last week. They were going to do a 6-song show for the inpatients at a Los Angeles clinic where people were drying out. And apparently the staff there wasn't pleased with their first choice in song and pulled the plug on their performance and had them drug out by security.
Wow.
Their first song they played was a little classic called Feel Good Hit of the Summer. You may be familiar with the song's lyrics. Nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol. Cocaine.
Hey, they know their audience, man. I mean, that's something, a subject matter the people are familiar with that are in rehab.
Staff at the clinic said, not so much, and had security remove them straight away without negotiation.
That might be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Queens of the Stone Age thrown out of rehab.
I love that.
That's awesome. Yeah. It reminds me of that scene in Walk the Line where Johnny Cash goes and starts doing concerts at San Quentin and just doing all the songs about breaking out of prison and stuff. Makes the guards a little nervous.
It does make them nervous, even though they have the guns. Well, Lindsay Lohan, she served her time. All 84 minutes of it.
She went back to jail?
She went to jail yesterday, yeah.
What? Oh. What?
She was serving her time for her DUI.
Mm-hmm.
Her second one.
And it was 84 minutes?
Yeah, she was supposed to do one day of jail time. She still had one day to serve out before January as part of her plea bargain.
Okay.
She's got 10 days of community service, one day of jail time, and then 3 years probation, 18 months in an alcohol education program. So they thought she was planning to do it over Thanksgiving, but she went in early
And instead of doing a day, she did 84 minutes because of overcrowding, of course, in the jail system. So she's paid her debt to society is what I'm trying to say.
What are we going to do about this overcrowding when we start having to lock up all the Japanese Americans in this country?
What are we going
to
do about that, Ralph?
Not going to happen.
We nuke Japan, put a big wall around it, and we make it a penal colony.
None of that.
And then we send all the Japanese from around the world back to the penal colony?
No, the Japanese are all dead at this point, Bean. Stick with me.
Okay.
Try to follow.
I didn't know it was a scorched earth policy. I didn't realize there would be no
Japan
survivors.
We wiped Japan off the map. We get American prisoners who are crowding up our prison facilities here in the United States.
And we send them
to our new penal colony, Fort Japan.
Where Japan used to be. Okay, I got you.
Exactly.
I like
it. We use it like the British used Australia.
Don't mess with Hayden is what we're saying.
You're lumping millions and millions of people in with a couple of people's actions.
They should have thought about that before they were those people then.
And how do you tell the good ones from the bad ones? That's what I want to know.
You can't tell.
You can't tell.
Nope.
You just got to lie. It's like chemotherapy. Sometimes you got to kill some good cells to kill the cancer. You know what I'm saying? Kevin, you know, it's better for one innocent man to die than 100 guilty men to be put in prison and read a book or something, or whatever you said.
If we were in Las Vegas right now and Kevin were drinking, he'd be with us.
That's right.
Hey, Producer Lightning, I know it's unlikely because they hate us, but please try to get us Miss Panettiere on the phone so that we can talk to her about this issue and see what we can do to help.
Why do you say they hate
us? Why do they hate us? What does that mean?
Because of all the times we've had Hate Panettiere on the show, which is exactly once so far.
But she's busy. She's a busy girl. We've had plenty of folks from Heroes.
I know.
We've talked to...
And we love Heroes.
And we talked to Masioka, and we talked to a bunch of them.
Don't go so negative, Bean.
We love Heroes, and I'm saying we would very much like to speak with Hayden again. That's all I'm saying.
I bet you Hayden would like to talk about this issue because she is as passionate about it as I.
Do you think that she would like to follow you into battle, though?
She may not support my scorched earth policy regarding the country of Japan.
Just checking
on that. But that's not important at this point. I'm willing to pick up the torch on her behalf and carry it into battle.
And you think she will support that?
A la Beowulf.
I am Beowulf. I am here to destroy your monster.
My Beowulf impression.
None of us have seen it yet, Ralph.
Oh, that's right. Today. I forgot. You people haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You'll enjoy it when you do. And lastly, I'll hold the phone. I may have a battle to fight here in the States before I get on my plane to Japan.
You got a lot of battles going on.
I got to take on Brett Ratner.
Why?
He's the director, the Rush Hour guy?
Yeah. Apparently, the Palm Beach Post is reporting that Brett Ratner will be directing a movie based on the life of Hugh Hefner.
Oh.
Next year. Who is he talking to star in the lead role?
That would be interesting.
It has to be...
Denzel?
It has to be somebody super manly. Somebody, ladies man. It has to be.
It's a ladies man, all right. Tom Cruise.
No.
Tom Cruise is Hugh Hefner in Half the Story of Hugh Hefner.
No, seriously.
Brett Ratner in talks with Tom Cruise to immortalize Hugh Hefner on film.
What?
All right. Did Hugh have a son? Maybe he could play him.
First I get Ratner, then Japan.
Okay.
That's the new order.
In that order?
Things, yes. Okay. Maybe that's I can drop Ratner on Japan. Kill two birds with one stone.
That's the most unbelievable casting ever.
It's insane. It's ridiculous.
Isn't it?
It's retarded.
Wow.
Furious. Today's celebrity birthdays... Maggie Gyllenhaal, actress. She could play Hugh Hefner better than Tom Cruise could, by the way. She's 30 years old today. Marg Helgenberger from CSI turns 49. Diana Krall, very beautiful and talented jazz singer, who is also Elvis Costello's wife, is 43. Lisa Bonet, you know her as Skippy from The Cosby Show. She is 40 years old today.
I think she was Skippy.
Who was she then?
I think it was... Wasn't she
Louise?
Denise.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bell or no Bell, by the way? I need some guidance on
Lisa Bonet. Hell yeah.
Is she?
I hadn't seen her in a while. Yeah. Okay.
And Trevor Penick from O-Town is 28 years old today.
How does he make the list?
Because they have that classic song, Come, Come, My Baby, My Pretty, Pretty Baby, My Butterfly Baby.
No,
that
wasn't O-Town?
Crazy Town.
That wasn't them at all. That's right.
Crazy
Town. Then strike Trevor Penick from the record, please. Okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. We've done a long history of Ask A ever since we stole Ask a Mexican from Ariel. What's his name?
Gustavo Arellano.
Gustavo Arellano, right. We stole the idea from him. And then we started plugging in any other number of things. We did Ask a Porn Star. We did Ask a Homosexual, Ask a Cop. Yes. And now we're going to do Ask a Mormon. And we have already taken a little bit of heat on this one because how do you know who to go to for something like Ask a Mormon? Because the problem is that if you're currently in certain religions, they don't want to talk about stuff.
Certain things are only for people who are members.
Right. So you can ask a lot of questions, but you're not going to get answers.
Right.
But at the same time, you don't want to find somebody with an axe to grind, somebody that just wants to make them look bad.
Right.
Well, we've been talking off-air to KROQ listener Matt, who actually listens to us online from his home in Salt Lake City. Matt joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Matt, good morning.
How you doing?
We are good.
I think it's interesting that you told us in your email that you were a Mormon for what? For about 6 years, but you're no longer affiliated with the church, right?
That is correct, yes.
And how weird is that for you to be an ex-Mormon and to be living in the number one Mormon city in the world, Salt Lake City, Utah?
Well, you know, that's a big misconception. Salt Lake City is actually very liberal and not Mormon, which is very interesting. It's like this little black hole of non-Mormonism within Mormon land.
Oh, no
wow.
kidding.
See, so we've already learned something on Ask a Mormon. We barely got started. So,
you're Matt's telling me they're a liar. That's what we've learned.
Are there not a lot of Mormons in Salt Lake City? Am I all wrong about that?
Well, there are. It's where the church's headquarters is. However, I think that there was a survey recently. Salt Lake City is only about 30% self-identified Mormon. It's all
interesting.
It's all the suburbs that are Mormon, like, oh. You know, 90% Mormon.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, I got you. All right. Well, we're going to take calls from our listeners who have questions about the Mormon faith at 1-800-520-1067. But let's get a little background on you, where you're coming from. Tell us about your experience in the Mormon church in terms of when you got in, when you got out, and why.
Well, I joined the Mormon church when I was 18 years old. I joined when I was 18. I was not religious beforehand. It hit me at a good time in my life when, you know, my father had died. I had moved to California from Illinois, didn't have any friends, you know, wasn't very happy.
What attracted you to the Mormonism other than some of the other faiths you could have chosen?
Well, it's just really interesting. And there's a great little sales pitch, and they have a lot of answers to just about every single question.
And okay. You're part of this great community once
right.
you join.
Exactly. And, you know, I didn't have any friends or, you know, I didn't feel very strongly about my family, and I really wanted this family thing going on. And,
right.
And so it just kind of swooped in and, you know, said, hey, there's a vulnerable guy. Let's let's now, make him join.
Now, yeah. Having said that, I want to ask, are you at all bitter? Do you hate? Are you angry that you got sucked in, or are you just not a Mormon anymore?
Well, you know, for a while I was angry, and that's just kind of, I don't know, I think natural. But
right,
I really looked at it now, and I'm really grateful for the experience because, you know, I got to go on a mission, and I got to learn another language, and I got to learn all about this crazy little thing, and it's essentially what got me interested in psychology, which is what I'm getting my master's in right now.
Okay, interesting. And for folks who don't know, when you say went on a mission, that means where you go away for a year or two. It could be anywhere in the world. Sometimes it's in America. Oftentimes it's in another country, and you spread the word, right? You knock on doors and try to convert people, right?
Absolutely. I went to the Philippines for 2 years.
Wow.
Learned the language. Okay. You know, they didn't really have doors there. Everyone lived in, like, cardboard houses. So, you know, we knocked on, you know, plastic sheets.
They'd fall over.
Yeah.
All right. So, and you got married in the Church of Mormonism, too, which we'll hear about later. But why did you – what shook your faith in the church? Why are you an ex-Mormon now?
Well, it was actually the marriage that did it for me.
What do you mean?
There's a lot of peer pressure to get married, oftentimes mm-hmm. to the wrong person. It's a, you know, the sooner you get married, the better, so you don't sin.
Right.
And there's also a lot of belief that you can marry any worthy Mormon, because if you're living the church rules and the gospel and everything, you're going to do okay.
So you don't have to be in love with someone.
Well, of course you're going to be in love, but, you know, you find out now that's lust because
right.
you're 21. You know?
Sure.
You love everyone. You know, the opposite gender at that age.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I think, I believe I was 24, and, you know, met this great person. We dated for 3 weeks, and then I proposed to her.
Wow.
Yeah.
What could go wrong with that?
Yeah.
You have to marry someone in the church, too, right?
Well, that's assuming you want to get married in the temple,
mm-hmm.
and that's a requirement for... I don't know, reaching the highest level of heaven, which I'm sure we'll talk about more. So,
Tell us about it.
That's the most famous thing of Mormonism that I am aware of, besides the magic underpants, is the levels of heaven. Try to describe that for us.
Well, the most basic way to say it, there's three levels of heaven. They're called the celestial, which is the highest, the terrestrial, which is the lowest, and the telestial, which is in the middle. And, you know, it sounds like I just said the same word three times.
Yeah, it does. So I was just thinking.
Yeah, it's just depending on how good you are. And according to them, all of them are better than Earth. And so God loves you so much that he's going to reward everyone with a great heaven. Unless, of course, you rejected Mormonism at one point, and then you just go to what they call outer darkness.
Now, we heard something on the show a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember how it came up, but somebody made a reference to getting your own planet when right. you die, as if you're a Mormon. Is that crazy talk, or is that part of what they teach you?
Well, that's what they teach you. That's kind of what they refer to as deep doctrine, that you don't really learn right away
right.
when you join the church, or they don't talk about all the time. But it's the old belief that God used to be a man, and he progressed and, you know, followed all the rules and was rewarded with godhood, and that is how we're on this planet, or we're in this universe. And as it's kind of like this eternal cycle. And now he has his children, which are us, and the faithful ones will one day, you know, the faithful ones to Mormonism who have done all the good things, will one day get their own planet, populate it with their own spirit children, and
As long as, and here's the catch that I think gets me off the bandwagon, as long as they're men.
Well, the women become gods, too. But, you know, the men are the ones who, they have the priesthood, which is the authority to act in God's name. The women never have the priesthood or this authority, but the men cannot become gods unless they're married. And so it's just like this team effort. But really, the men ultimately get all the credit. So
interesting.
Yeah, and have all the power. So they can do all the magic tricks and things like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is Carrick Lister, Matt on the line from Salt Lake City. We're doing Ask a Mormon, and we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 when we come back. But let me just ask you just a couple of real basic questions for people like me who don't know much about the faith at all. You believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior? Is there some facet of that? Is there a resurrection? Are there a lot of similarities in Mormonism to some of the other Judeo-Christian religions?
It is absolutely almost the same as the Judeo-Christian religions. Mormons use the Bible, believe in the resurrection, believe in just about everything that, you know, is there. Of course, a lot of fundamentalist Christians will tell you that Mormons aren't Christian.
Right.
And that's just based on a few little extra beliefs that, like, for example, that Satan and Jesus are brothers.
Okay. But Satan and Jesus are brothers. That's a new one on me.
Well, that's really, it's an oversimplification of the fact that we're all brothers and sisters because we're all children of God. And we all existed before we came to the earth as spirits in the place called the pre-existence.
Okay.
And that includes Jesus and Satan. So, yeah, you can oversimplify it and say that Jesus and Satan were brothers.
One more question before we take a break, and then we'll take your phone calls, is, you know, only religion I've heard of where you get magic underwear.
Well,
I mean, it's really. There's no other religion that hands out underwear that's magic. Come on!
Well, you know, I've seen some great magic underwear at the Spearmint Rhino before.
Well, as have I. Thank you. But
yeah.
what is the deal? Because I remember a few years ago it was in the news because Steve Young talked about how he always, you know, he's the famous San Francisco 49ers quarterback, talked about how he always wore the magic underwear on game day. What does it do for you, and why is it so secret?
Well, it doesn't really do anything except cost about, you know, $8 a pair.
Right.
And, you know, look really funny. I sent you a picture.
Why is it so secret?
What it is, it's kind of referred to as the garment of the priesthood. You know, they'll say that Catholic priests wear their collars on the outside to show the world their priesthood. Mormons wear it on the inside. It's private. But it also has little etchings marked in it, which mm-hmm. are really Masonic symbols, the square and the compass. And there's two other ones, and they have symbolic meaning. They're really to represent the garments that Adam and Eve put on.
Okay, but where does the magic come in? Card tricks or,
you know, it's superstition.
Levitate, anything?
We're talking about religion. It's superstition. Of course there's going to be magic involved. It's a lot more interesting to call them magic underwear than what the Mormons call them, which is sacred undergarments.
Right. So, in other words, it could just as easily have been a ring or a hat or a cape. I mean, it just happens to be underwear.
Oh, I wish it was a cape. That'd be awesome.
Well,
that'd really be good.
We're looking at super Mormons here, yeah.
Exactly. All right. We must take a break. Matt is on the line from Salt Lake City. Ask a Mormon any question you have about the faith. The guy sounds like he's pretty well versed in what's going on with it. And we'll take your calls after this. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Sounds like our gay topic, Ask Mormon.
Yeah, no
apparently
kidding.
It's not. Now, here's the deal. We are doing Ask a Mormon. We do not have any axe to grind. We're not trying to make anyone look bad. We're not interested in slandering a whole group of people that believe anything. But there are certain religions that it seems like you have to be out of before you'll talk about it freely. Mm-hmm. If you're
there's
in
stuff,
the, if
you're yeah, in there's the, inside stuff that you can't know unless
right.
you are a member of the church. And that's the stuff that we're interested in.
And that's why we, when we had a cop, we would say, how do you decide how many tickets to write and that kind of stuff? Because if they're currently a cop, they get in trouble for speaking the truth.
Exactly.
So that's the problem.
So Matt is on the line right now from Salt Lake City. Matt, thanks for holding on. You ready to take some calls?
Yeah, let me just say really quick.
Yeah.
You might end up getting this boycott Kevin and Bean campaign and emails.
Really? What a surprise. Again?
Well, more lawsuits.
The midgets right. got to you, too?
Yeah. Well, a few years ago, I tried selling some garments on eBay, and it created quite the stir among the Mormon email chain. So,
wow. Okay. Well, thank you for the warning.
I'd like to say again, though, I'm not interested in making anyone look bad.
Mm-mm.
And
we
picked you because it sounds like you don't have an axe to grind either. So.
Well, it's hard to look good in garments.
Okay.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's take line 8. We've got Grant calling in on Ask a Mormon. He's got a question about the early days of your faith. Hi, Grant. You're on with Matt. Ask a Mormon. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
I have a friend who's Mormon, and I've been to church with him. And they were talking about how God and Jesus came to Joseph Smith and told him to start this new religion. But the thing that kind of weirded me out was that he was only 15 when this happened, so he was like 15 when he started his own religion. And I also heard that like he was illiterate. Is that true?
Well, that's a great question. He was actually 14, but that makes it a lot better, I'm sure. he was 14, and Joseph Smith, for those who don't know, is the founder of Mormonism,
right.
and viewed as the first prophet of Mormonism.
Right.
He was confused about which religion to join. He prayed, and then God and Jesus appeared to him. Because let's face it, who hasn't had God and Jesus appear to him?
Sure. Right?
You know,
this was relatively recent. I mean, isn't Mormonism only 120 years old or something like that?
This was about 1820-ish.
Okay.
Okay.
And I forgot the exact date. My Mormon memory is fading slowly. But the so he was about that age, and that's when the ball got rolling with the whole church.
All right, let's move along.
The caller also asked if he was illiterate. Is that true? I assume a lot of people were back then.
Well, you know, I think it makes a much better story if you say that the founder of a religion was a moron, and then he did all these things on his own, you know, with God's help. But I don't think he was illiterate. He could obviously start a religion. So he couldn't have been that stupid.
All right, let's go to Debbie in Burbank. This may be one of the biggest questions about this particular group. Go ahead, Debbie.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's your question?
Hi. My question is it true that Mormons could have as many wives as they want?
Well, you're in the original Mormonism, the Orthodox, before, you know, the government got involved, there was polygamy, and it was pretty nutty. And they eventually quit practicing polygamy.
Okay, longer.
Well, now there are offshoot groups who do it still, and you see that in the news. That's what you see with Warren Jeffs and these different people getting arrested. But it was originally a tenet of Mormonism. However, men can still be married to multiple women in the afterlife. That is still a doctrine of the church.
Oh, okay.
But women can't be married to multiple men.
They didn't learn their lesson here on Earth?
Well,
more than one woman will destroy you?
How do they find him in the afterlife, though? Isn't everyone married who goes there?
No, not exactly. There is a very high disproportionate level of women to men. Because, you know, women are just more faithful than men.
All right, I'm joining then.
Because they don't have that genitalia problem.
That does sound pretty sweet. Hey, let's talk to Rod in Norwalk. He's online, too. This is another one, especially in light of Mitt Romney making a serious run for the nomination for the Republican Party for the presidency of the United States. A lot of people have said, hey, you're a Mormon, and I'm uncomfortable with that because I'm a black person, for instance. And I think that's where Rod's question may be coming from. Hi, Rod, you're on Ask a Mormon. Go ahead.
Hey, baby boo.
Hello.
I was just calling to ask, you know, what's the deal with different colors being in the religion, and can they also then mix races?
Originally, no. There was actually the second prophet named Brigham Young, who was, you know, the namesake of the university.
Right.
There was a famous speech where he said that if, you know, a woman ever marries a black man, they should die on the spot.
Oof.
But that has since changed. The black people were not allowed to receive the priesthood or have any authority in the church until 1978.
Has it changed in words alone, or has it changed, do you think, in attitudes?
No, it's changed in attitude. I mean, you're talking a generation or two since it all happened, so no one really knows any better anymore. However, there are not really a lot of black Mormons. There's actually support groups for black Mormons, which seems kind of weird, but the fact is Mormonism is preached in almost every country, and so there are native members of every different religion and culture, and a lot of missionaries come home and they go back and marry their little, Thai girl and bring her back to Utah. So
right.
There's lots of interracial things.
It's certainly to the church's credit, if blacks weren't allowed in the temple until the late 70s, and they really are now openly accepted, I mean, that is a change in a relatively short period of time when you're talking about a religion.
Right, but you also have to realize we're looking at the civil rights movement. We're looking at cultural,
right.
If they remained a racist organization by popular perception, it really would have hurt their credibility. And, you know, the Mormon Church has a PR company that tells it what to do on a lot of levels.
Sure.
So it's very much a PR move.
And Matt, we're kind of running low on time. I wanted to ask you about weddings because I uncovered something about old men rubbing oil on young men. What? What's is that?
All right.
Does that happen?
Finally, Mike's interested. He just perked up.
Is that how you? Is that part of the wedding ceremony?
Well, that's part of what they call the endowment ceremony.
Uh-huh.
And that's when you receive your garment. You are first washed and anointed with oil.
So it's not as gay as it sounds.
It's not as gay as it sounds.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's, they've changed it a little bit, so less gay too.
What about, there was also something that I heard once, and I think one of our emailers this morning mentioned it too, something about Mormon, a couple has sex through a sheet with a hole in it. Is there anything to
that?
What?
No.
Okay, that was just that's just a myth. That did not happen.
I'd like to watch, but I've never heard about
it. Matt,
that.
I'm just an observer. I don't really know all that much about it. But Mitt Romney running for president, I hear a lot of talk about they wouldn't vote for him because he's a Mormon. There's a lot of that kind of discussion going on, and I've always thought that seems stupid to me, that he's whatever religion he is. You know, you can look at his record as a governor or whatever. I just didn't understand. Well, how would you look at that? Should it disqualify him in any way, knowing what you know?
Yeah, I can see how people would be concerned. There's a lot of the cult word thrown around. I think the biggest concern for me is that a faithful Mormon who's been to the temple has also promised in the temple to give anything, including their life, to build up the church. And then they answer to a 95-year-old man in Utah that they think is a prophet of God. And so I could see how that can make people uncomfortable to have the president answering to a 95-year-old man who thinks he's a prophet.
That's just so smacks of the whole Catholic argument when JFK ran.
Well, it does, and I don't know.
Answering to the Pope.
I don't know if Catholics ever covenanted to give their own life to build the church.
Right.
Mm. A couple more questions real quick because we are out of time, and this is a fascinating topic. As always, I wish we had more time on the show. What's the Mormon Church stance on the gays and lesbians?
It is a trial that God gives you. That you need to overcome. You are encouraged to live a straight life, marry, have kids, just deal with it. There is actually...
So there's no acceptance of gay people?
Well, as long as you don't act gay, I guess. You don't act on it. You can
really?
It's most religions.
It's don't ask,
Kevin.
Don't tell.
No, it's not even that nice. It's don't do anything that's gay.
You can be gay, but just don't have any kind
you
of
can't
gay
have sex.
Sex, right?
Right. And there have been groups in the past that are therapeutic to reprogram gays.
Right.
And I have a number of friends who have been through that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
You've tried it, right?
Gotta try everything once, right?
All right, last question for you, Matt, and you've been an outstanding spokesperson on Ask a Mormon, is what's the end of the world end game for Mormonism? Because in Christianity, we're taught to believe that Jesus is coming back, and that's it. What happens in the Mormon faith?
Now we're dealing with a lot of Mormon folklore here, but ultimately, Jesus is coming back, and where is he coming back? But to Jackson County, Missouri. Because that's where the Garden of Eden is. Who doesn't know that?
Of course, yeah.
And
I didn't.
Yep. Well, now you do.
Go ahead.
And then all the Mormons are going, the faithful Mormons, will go to Jackson County, Missouri, where they will build a temple. And that's, they also have all their year's food storage for that.
You're
event.
Telling me that Missouri is as good as it gets when the world ends for the Mormons.
That's kind of depressing, isn't it?
Missouri. I hope it's going to be upgraded. I hope Missouri gets an upgrade from God or something.
Wow. Well, that is interesting stuff. Matt has been our guest from Salt Lake City, former Mormon on Ask a Mormon. I think we've all learned a little something here today, you guys.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for emailing us, and thanks for being on the phone with us today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. It's time to ask a Mormon. Can you marry more than one woman? Do you have magic underwear? And if so, can we get a pair? Jello, what the hell? Righty Vice, ringing on my door, ringing my doorbell. More Mormon than Mormon. More Mormon than Mormon. It's time to ask Mormon. It's time to ask Mormon. We have tickets right now for you to win for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. You pick the night. You call us at 1-800-520-1067.
While you're dialing, start thinking about what, huh? What, huh?
That's fantastic. I'm very excited.
Okay, hang on, Serge. Get to you in one moment. While you're dialing, we'll give you a moment to think about which night you'd like to win tickets for. Night number one, of course, is Linkin Park, Angels and Airwaves, Avenged Sevenfold, Bad Religion, Paramore, Rise Against, and our guest in studio, Serge Tankian.
Oh, that's
great,
bro. That's great, bro. Thank you.
Night number two, Browdown, is Muse, Feist, Jimmy Eat World, Modest Mouse, The Shins, Silver Sun Pickups, and Spoon. Two great nights, very, very different. You decide which one you want at 1-800-520-1067, but you're going to have to earn them. And Serge, you apparently can sing any song by any band on the bill both nights, right?
That's right. I'm amazingly gifted, bro.
Okay.
And I just can sing. You tell me what to sing, I'll sing it.
Okay, now you have some lyrics in front of you. These are from any of the other bands that are playing Acoustic Christmas. And the K-Rock listeners have to identify the lyrics. They have to tell us the band and the song title.
Right. It's going to be songs, lyrics from songs of many of the bands on the bill, but right. I'm going to improve them by playing them behind System of a Down music.
Okay, good.
Okay. You sound a little mellow today, Serge. Are you okay? Are the holidays a difficult time for you, or what's going on?
No, there's so many tragedies in the world that it makes me very depressed and deflated, but you must remember.
All right, there's the Serge we know. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Rudy is in Santa Ana. Because of the lateness of the hour, because of our very, very busy 8 o'clock hour that we have planned, what do you want to say, Kevin, about the first person who can name the title and artist of the song that Serge is singing wins the tickets their choice of nights?
So if this guy gets it, this guy wins.
If this guy gets it, it's over. That's right. So the pressure is all on. Rudy, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you today?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How's it going? Good morning, Lisa May.
Hello.
Welcome to Power Surge. He's going to sing some lyrics, and you are going to tell us what the song is and what the band is, okay? Okay? All right, good. This is going to work well.
Hit it, Steve.
You will never buy attention to mine, but I got the rhythm right now. You will never buy attention to pray, but that's a little away from you now. But God, it feels so good. God, it feels so good.
I don't,
I didn't,
I know the answer, and
I don't, and I don't.
And I didn't,
Glendale.
Do we get one more listener?
No, unfortunately.
God, I hope not.
That's...
That was tough, though. You got a guess anyway?
All right, I'll get a guess. I'll take a guess. Let's say I'm, Bad Religion?
No, I'm sorry. That's as good a guess as any, but thank you.
What was the answer there? I don't even have it.
That was Paramore, Misery Business.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that if you'd given me the rest of the year. I'll tell you that.
Sounds much better the way I do it.
Didn't recognize that at all.
Let's try Ashley on line 5. Ashley calling from Corona on the Kevin and Bean Show. First person to get title and artist as sung by Serge. It's one of the other bands on one of the two nights of Acoustic Christmas wins their choice of tickets. Ashley, good morning.
It's the new hardest game in the world.
Yeah, no kidding. It is hard.
Who knew?
All right, Ashley, good luck. Listen up here, Serge.
No one's going to take me alive. Time has come to make things right. You must fight for rights. Fight for rights. Fight for rights to survive.
Glendale.
It's
Muse. Oh my gosh. Why is my mind going blank?
The correct band.
Ooh.
If you get the song right, you win.
Muse. Nice to know.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yes. How about that? Congratulations, Ashley. I never would have guessed that we would ever get a winner, so you're very, very good. What night do you want to go to see the show?
Night one.
Night one, you got it.
Good choice.
Congratulations. Saturday night, December 8th, you are going to the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Serge?
Yeah.
Yes?
Good seeing you. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Another hardened criminal has served her time behind bars. Lindsay Lohan served out her jail sentence yesterday for her second DUI. 84 minutes she spent in jail.
Wow, how did she do it?
I don't know how she came out. She is writing a telltale book about the experience, however. It'll be 84 pages. It'll be a page a minute, and she'll talk about her harrowing experience in the Gray Bar Hotel.
My hour behind bars.
That's right.
Her last movie that I know you killed me was it lasted longer and was worse than her stay in jail.
Word. Word, my brother. TMZ.com says Slash is filing a lawsuit against Sotheby's International Realty over a house he and his wife claimed they were duped into buying.
Really?
They were told to buy a house, and when they got there, they said it wasn't on a private street that like they were told it was, and was much smaller than the 7,800 square feet they were told it was. So they want $1 million for their pain and suffering.
They bought the place sight unseen? Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay.
Just looking for clarification. They bought it over the phone or something?
Yeah. They went to a realtor, and they said, this is a good house. And they said, okay, we'll take it.
Wow.
Then they got there, and it wasn't what they thought they were buying.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. People who buy a house without going to see it first.
Yeah.
You kind of deserve that, don't
you? Should lose their rights to sue anybody over anything ever again.
I've never heard of that.
Just cruise over before you sign the check. That's all.
That's all. Just take a look.
Just drop by.
Maybe just
get
a drive-by.
Get in the minivan, put the kids in the back, lock them up in the car seats, and just cruise by. You don't have to go in. Just take a look. Hey, there's the house we're going to buy, right? Okay. Here's your check.
All right,
you.
Seen it.
God, I hate rich, stupid people.
Now, you know what? There's got to be more to this story. There's no way that's the whole story. Is it? There's got to be something missing.
They say... The house wasn't on a private street and was much smaller than they were told it was before they purchased it.
Okay.
Okay.
Probably a Japanese realtor is my guess, right?
That's what I'm saying.
What is wrong with you guys?
Death to Japan! The ongoing war cry sweeping the United States today.
It's no war cry. It's not sweeping anywhere.
Let's finish what we started. That's the other war cry.
That's bullshit.
Two bombs not enough. Another bumper sticker I saw yesterday.
You haven't seen any such thing.
Oh, I did. Japan has the balls, the sheer unmitigated gall, to file an arrest warrant for Hayden Panettiere.
Maybe they just want to frisk her.
We like to frisk her.
You know what I mean? I'd arrest her for that.
You may remember that she was in Japan recently with some other young heroes attempting to stop local fishermen from slaughtering hundreds of native dolphins in the islands around Japan, and she took to a surfboard to try to put herself between the dolphins and the fishermen who regularly kill the animals. Because of her actions, an arrest warrant has been issued.
Wow.
Here's the thing. As I mentioned earlier, if you want to see what the hubbub's all about, go to savejapandolphins.org, and you'll see all the information. This movement was started by the guy who used to train Flipper, by the way.
Really?
Remember the dolphin Flipper from the movies and
the
TV show?
Yep.
Flipper's trainer was so incensed by how the Japanese fishermen slaughtered these dolphins that he started this this program. And there's a lot of people now behind it trying to stop the senseless slaughter of these dolphins. And the thing is, they sell the dolphin meat in Japan. It's a delicacy in Japan.
Right.
Okay. And the thing is, the waters over there are so polluted that the dolphin meat is tainted with mercury.
Okay.
So it's really not even fit for human consumption.
Okay.
And then the dolphins that they don't slaughter, they capture and sell off to these dolphiterias, where you go and pick up your dolphins for the swimming with the dolphins things in Hawaii, and they sell them to animal theme parks and that kind of stuff.
That's right.
So it's bad news all the way around.
Now, fishing, you know, is fairly commonplace in every country around the world, and Japan does its share of fishing. But what's worse about this, am I right, Ralph, is that they hack them to death in the water with a knife, basically, right?
What they do is they pen them in this cove. They sort of treat them like cattle. They get them all in this cove, and then they start slitting their throats and hacking them with spears and machetes and saws and whatnot. The waters literally run red with dolphin blood by the time they're done.
Yeah. This is tough because we love heroes and we love Hayden, but now we've got to kill the actor who plays Sulu. You know, we can't, because he's Japanese. He's gone, right? He's out.
Well, he lives here.
He lives here, though, right?
Yeah, he's been here forever.
Such thing. He's one of the good ones?
Yeah. This is very, very small group.
We have to fight him over there before we have to fight him over here. That's what I'm saying.
You're talking
I'm
about
on board.
A few fishermen and maybe one lawmaker, and there's millions, maybe billions of people that are fine.
What about Masioka?
He's here, too.
Yeah.
He's American.
I don't know if he was American by
birth. Look, I have no problem with Japanese Americans.
Okay.
It's the Japanese that I have problems with.
Because I was going to start locking them up. I was going to start rounding them up and putting them back in the prisons.
No,
but you're saying no.
We don't want to relive that shameful period in American history.
It's no one here.
What we want to do is just start dropping more A-bombs in Japan. That's what we want to do.
It's not the people there, Ralph.
Remember Nagasaki?
Wow. It isn't the people.
Remember Hiroshima?
It's not the people,
Ralph. It's going to make that look like a cakewalk. It's going to make it look like a Sunday bazaar. It's going to make it look like the flea market at the Rose Bowl when I'm done with them.
Ralph, do you have a boot for their foreign ass?
I do. I got an American boot for their foreign ass. That's what I got.
Wow, Kevin's sure the emperor lover here today, isn't he?
Sure is.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Why don't you put on your kimono, go over there and have some rice wine, you bastard?
I'm just saying.
Why don't you go join them?
You can't lump everyone into the group.
Why don't you get your Toyota and drive home? Why don't you do that?
Yeah, really.
That's a burn.
Go there and eat some blowfish.
That I do.
Don't eat the wrong part, though. That'll kill you, too. They're trying to poison us every possible way.
No, they're not.
They sure are.
So it's okay. So everyone died at Pearl Harbor. It's pointless. That's all pointless death.
That's water under the bridge. I'm saying that was years and years ago.
You're in favor of the Pearl Harbor bombing.
We're now friends
of
them.
Are we friends of
them? Yes.
Well, I'm more friends of a little lady named Hedden Pedentier.
Who?
Or whoever.
Whatever that girl's name is. And the dolphins. I'm friends of the dolphins, too.
Yeah.
Because when the world goes down the toilet, man, and the global warming rises, the water tides, we're all swimming around. It's like water world.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins are going to be hanging out with me, saving my ass.
I see.
I'll be riding on their backs.
I see.
Like, speak up now, man. They'll be there for you later.
That's right. Death to Japan.
Good on you.
You've learned nothing else from today. While you're sitting around Thanksgiving table next week.
That's just dumb. Just
not eating dolphin.
Just not eating dolphin. Just grass pans, bow your head, and say a little prayer that Japan dies. That's all I ask.
That's just dumb.
Hey,
I'm just saying.
Look, I know when you say something's dumb, I really should take a second look at it and reconsider.
Correct.
But in this particular case, an entire country needs to be swept off the face of the earth.
A little less from Kevin's sign, a little more from the rest of us right-thinking people.
Yeah.
All right.
The White Stripes have something for you for Christmas. A little special something-something if you're a fan.
Megan Playboy?
No. They will release three colored vinyl 7-inch singles. It's not often you see the 45 making an appearance anymore. But they've got vinyl singles that will be released on December the 18th. The band's new single, Conquest, will be on all three discs with different B-sides on each of the singles.
Conquest is one of the best songs they've ever done. I couldn't love it more. And new B-sides, huh? I'm totally buying those. That's awesome.
All three of the new tracks were co-produced by Beck and were recorded in his living room.
Fantastic.
He plays piano guitar on two of the tracks and sings backing vocals on another. So if you're a White Stripes fan, you're going to want to get these special collectible 7-inch vinyl singles. December the 18th, they'll be available.
A lot of these hipster bands are releasing vinyl-only stuff. I buy quite a few of those, actually, because it's the only way they come out. They never come out on CD.
You know what you do? You get yourself one of those Ion USB turntables.
Yeah.
I don't have a turntable.
Get yourself one of those, little man.
All right.
You get it, and you plug it right into your computer, and you play the turntable.
You know who makes those?
And it downloads it as an MP3 or a CD file into your computer, and you compare it to CD.
You know who makes those?
The stinking Japs.
In Japan.
That's what I'm saying.
Good, hardworking people in Japan.
I'm not saying we don't take their merchandise. That's the first thing we do. We go, we get all their stuff, we take it out, and then cinder and ash. That's what we're doing.
Really just a couple of people that are to be blamed.
Cinder and ash, by the way, a great old comedy team from the 50s.
Oh, they're funny.
She gets some of their recordings. Very funny. And Gene Simmons has said that college students have ruined music.
College students have ruined music?
Yes.
How?
Because they steal.
Oh, sure.
Because they're downloading music for free, and everyone who does it is a crook.
They're not downloading Kiss songs, I'll tell you that, Gene.
That's for sure. He says, the record industry should sue all of them, no matter how young or innocent they look. These kids are putting 100,000 to a million people out of work, he claims. Oh, they've got freckles. How can you pick on them? They're a crook. They might as well be wearing a bandit's mask. By the way, last time I saw anyone wearing a bandit's mask, it was in a Three Stooges shirt, and he was carrying a bag of money with a big dollar sign on the side. Like Scrooge McDuck last time I saw a bandit mask.
Wow.
Is Gene's complaint that there's some money out there that he hasn't made? Because he's done pretty well for himself.
By the way, he is releasing the third volume of Kissology, his DVD series. That'll be out in December, just in time for the lucrative gift-giving season. He says there are seven more volumes on the way.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Seven more volumes of Kiss video that no one really cares to see.
Yeah, wow. No kidding.
I own it.
Of course you do.
And I got the first two. Yeah.
He will be releasing next year a CD box set of his previously unreleased solo tracks.
A box set?
Yeah. You know how many of his previously unreleased solo songs he'll be releasing?
The box set has to be like 30 or 40, 50?
Yes, yes. 150.
What?
150 Gene Simmons solo songs.
Not Kiss.
Solo tracks by Gene.
150.
Yeah.
I think he's only released two solo albums. Is that right,
and
Mike?
They tore up the charts, right?
Well, not so much.
So people are dying to hear his unreleased stuff. The stuff that wasn't good enough to be ignored. that's what he's going to release in a box set.
I can't believe he's not Japanese, as I hear you say this.
I'm sure it'll come out of Japan. I'm sure somehow they're involved.
Freaking Japanese.
You guys are a-holes.
Killing dolphins.
Making Hayden cry, by the way.
Exactly.
Well, that's a crime.
We want to arrest Hayden Panettiere. Yeah. Yeah. No, let the guys... How about the mammal hackers? How about arresting those guys? Oh, Hayden Panettiere didn't turn the water to blood.
Mammal hackers, by the way. Side stage.
Emperor Hirohito, are you listening? Guy runs a shabby country over there. That's all I got to say.
Not running it.
Happy celebrity birthday to Maggie Gyllenhaal. She is 30 years old today. Lisa Bonet from The Cosby Show turns 40. Diana Krall, jazz singer and Elvis Costello's wife, turns 43. Marg Helgenberger, an unattractive name for a beautiful woman.
Yes. Yeah.
She is on CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. She's 49 years old today. And David Leisure. Remember,
yes.
David Leisure?
No.
Who was Joe Isuzu? Remember Joe Isuzu?
That's barely.
This car can go 400 miles an hour.
Sure.
Joe Isuzu.
Sure.
I love Joe Isuzu.
Yeah.
He's 57 years old today. Wonder what he's doing right now. He probably needs a job. He'll probably join my anti-Japanese army.
Probably not. I'll
make him a corporal.
There's not an
corporal
army like
Isuzu. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you something about our pal Morgan Spurlock. This is a guy who I heard he was available, and I said yes. Didn't even know what his project was. That's how much I love this guy's work. 30 Days, of course, his hit series on FX. Of course, he was nominated for an Oscar for the Super Size Me movie. And now he's back with a new one that opens up next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, called What Would Jesus Buy? And Morgan Spurlock back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Morgan.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Here's what I love about you, man, is you only take on battles that you are guaranteed to lose. There's no possible way you can make an impact in the area that you're out there fighting for. That's what I love about you.
I think I'm a glutton for punishment. Maybe that's what it is.
For the longest time, Morgan, we tried to get people to not put up their Christmas lights until after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Because it just seemed like a natural thing. And we just, you know, when you start fighting Christmas, I mean, you might as well just kill yourself. There's no... You lose.
Well, you can't win.
That's why I joined forces with the Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping for this new movie. You know, I was hoping that maybe if I had, you know, there was strength in numbers.
All right. What is this? You know, you're so right, and you bring up, I'm sure, I haven't seen the film yet, but I'm sure you bring up a lot of, a lot of topics that we're familiar with. That is, yeah. Christmas couldn't be any further away from its original intent. The holiday certainly has gone long beyond, a moment of silence for Jesus. But what's your point in What Would Jesus Buy?
And the whole thing for me is just that it's just gotten so completely out of control on a multitude of reasons. I mean, even now, I mean, every day it's like, now I got toys that are coming into the country that are like laced with date rape drugs.
Yeah,
I mean,
there is that.
Like, what have we been doing?
That doesn't seem good.
It does not seem good. It's just every time I turn on the television, I'm seeing commercials for Christmas. You know, you're hearing countdowns on radio ads. You're seeing, you know, people are putting up Christmas decorations, you know, the day after Halloween.
Right.
You know, for me, it's become such this massive, this just orgy of consumption, of buying things and spending money, and it's just ridiculous.
You know what I hear right now? I hear blah, 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 blah.
Blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. Get me a PlayStation. That's what Kevin hears.
PlayStation 3.
Toys.
Morgan, are you suggesting maybe that people are doing it because they feel like they have to and they're not even enjoying the season anymore?
Oh, I mean, there's a fantastic group of people. There's like, I think it's, there was a study that was done where 50% of the people who go out, they look at the holiday with more dread than excitement because, you know, now I got to make a list. Now I got to buy things. What if I buy the wrong present? Oh my gosh, she's not going to like this. You know, the kids need everything. What if I don't get the kids what they want? You know, people, they max out credit cards, you know, for 6 months. People are paying off their Christmas purchases until June, July of next year. You know, it's just, we've really just lost sight of all these things that really should matter, which is our family, our friends, the people that we spend time with, and we've really bought into this whole idea of stuff making us happy.
Do you have kids, Morgan?
I do. I have a son.
And how old's he?
He's 11 months. So, dude, I could get him a cardboard box and he's going to be ecstatic, you know?
What are you going to try to do different when he gets to be old enough to understand that Christmas is about presents? What's December 25th going to be like when he's like 4 or 5 years old?
He gets nothing!
That's right. He's going to be miserable. It's going to be like, you know, it's going to be like Scrooge. I'm going to be like, do you know how much those steaks cost?
Yeah. He's going to be at your next door neighbor's house looking through the window at the toys as they play with them.
I think the biggest thing for me with, you know, and this is my wife Alex and I talk about this all the time, is, you know, Christmas isn't about quantity, and that's what the other thing is. We feel like we need vast amounts of stuff, you know, that have huge price tags to really be happy, and I don't think that's what it is.
Let's play a clip from the movie. Morgan Spurlock is on the line right now. His latest film is called What Would Jesus Buy? Opens up just in time to ruin your holiday season next Wednesday. Kevin, what's this clip we're going to hear from?
This is the Reverend giving a little speech out in the parking lot.
Supermodels looking down at us in their Christmas lingerie. Billboards covered with fake Dickensian gingerbread lattes. They're beating each other up at the cash register in the super malls. I think I know what they're doing. I have some compassion there. Some part of me feels pretty violent right now about Christmas.
Now, what do you have against Victoria's Secret models commercials, for God's sakes?
I don't have anything against the models at all.
All right, the
models are fantastic.
Okay, good.
Right. and people should know that Reverend Billy, who is basically an actor and an activist named Bill Talon, who lives in New York City, is, you know, this is a character he's created, the character of Reverend Billy in the Church of Stop Shopping. And their whole goal is to go out, you know, and save people from the shapocalypse, which, you know, the shapocalypse is the end of days, you know, through consumption and buying.
Well, that guy's going to make a lot of headway, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Morgan, last question, because we're almost out of time, but what was the reaction to the people that you interviewed when you brought up, for many people, a thought they've never even had in their life, which is to scale back at Christmas time rather than make it bigger and better every year? What reaction did you get? Did you feel like you won anybody over one-on-one?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, it's almost like suddenly people are like, oh, you mean I can do that? It's almost like, you know, it gives people permission. You know, they kind of see the reality of, oh, you know what? You're right. I don't have to do that. I can spend less. I can, you know, not max out my credit cards. I can, you know, not be miserable during this holiday. I think it does give people the right to make that choice where we feel like we can't because we're surrounded by so many other people who tell us we should be buying.
I've been such a fan of Morgan's for so long, and now I realize that he hates Santa. He's just not a good man.
He's not a good person.
If Santa
Jesus
wasn't outsourcing all his toys to China, it wouldn't be so bad.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, that's a good point.
It's another movie.
The film is a great alternative at the holiday box office. It's called What Would Jesus Buy? It opens up in Los Angeles at the Lemley Sunset 5 and in Irvine at the Edwards West Park 8. That's going to be next Wednesday. Morgan, always good to catch up with you, man. Thanks for coming on K-Rock.
Take care.
Thank you, man.
Bye.
Try him for the movie beat.
In a world someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Fascinating choices this weekend as about a half a dozen movies hit Southland Cineplexes. First and foremost is a movie that has been done for a while and has been on the shelf, finally getting a release date. Southland Tales, it's called. It is available for your viewing pleasure in selected theaters around Southern California this weekend. And it looks honked up, by all accounts. It is directed by the man who brought us Donnie Darko. I don't know if you're familiar with that film or not.
I like that.
That is some horked up stuff right there. And this one looks to be equally as twisted. Dwayne The Rock Johnson stars as an amnesiac actor.
He's a football player and doesn't realize he has a kid?
Actually, he's a boxer.
Oh.
Who's also an actor who has no memory and yet gets caught up in a chain of events that could lead to the end of the world.
Oh, nice.
Okay, yeah. That could happen.
Sarah Michelle Gellar plays a porn star.
All right.
Who gets caught up in the action alongside The Rock and Sean William Scott as a sympathetic cop who tries to help them out as they're making a movie, but at the same time trying to stop the world from being destroyed by a nuclear disaster.
Okay.
You follow?
Barely.
Me neither.
Okay.
Here's a scene from the film. This is The Rock and Sarah Michelle Gellar explaining their movie idea to Sean William Scott.
I play an LAPD cop who isn't who he seems.
Crime suddenly skyrockets for no apparent reason. And he's the only one who can see the truth.
What's the truth? He realizes that the apocalyptic crime rate is because of global deceleration. The rotation of the Earth is slowing down at a rate of 0.00000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000
zero, six.
What the hell?
Yeah. This looks all kinds of weird.
Does it look good weird?
It looks good weird. Okay. Yeah, it looks like disturbing, okay. Strange, odd, off-kilter, confusing, fascinating kind of weird.
I love that kind of movie.
It's kind of like a David Lynch kind of feel, yeah, to it. Just weird. Just
will you
weird.
Know what you saw afterwards? Like, will you be able to go, oh, I see what that was about?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm hoping.
Siriana.
I'm hoping. Or, yeah, or you just go scratching
John
your head.
From Cincinnati.
So just let that wash over me for a while, and I'll come back to it. The movie also stars our pal Kevin Smith, makes an appearance in it as
oh,
well.
Cool.
Mandy Moore.
All right, ooh, then.
Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Janine Garofalo.
Thank
Nora Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry O'Terry. A lot of SNL alums are in this film, but also you might want to check out, in selected theaters, Southland Tales this weekend. Also for the kids and the kid in everyone, it's Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, starring Dustin Hoffman as the owner of the most fantastic, most magical toy store in the world. He plays Mr. Megorium, who is a 243-year-old owner of this store. He decides it's time for him to move on. And he picks handpicks someone to carry on his work, and he picks Natalie Portman, and who among us wouldn't?
So it's a documentary?
It is a documentary,
okay.
Yes. And Jason Bateman also stars
oh,
in
good.
The film as all. Here is a scene where Jason's character, Henry Weston, introduces himself to Molly Mahoney, played by Natalie Portman.
Pleasure to meet you. I have to admit, when the agency sent me, I had no idea that this was a toy store.
These kids found out this was a toy store, we'd have a madhouse on our hands. That was a joke.
I know.
See, because the kids know it's a toy store.
Of course.
But Jason doesn't.
But the toy store is alive.
It is.
If I'm not mistaken.
They try to close it, and the toy store rebels because it's magical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full of Christmas good wishes for everyone. So you can check that
out.
It's
good for
weekend.
Kids.
But here's the movie I recommend this weekend. I was lucky enough to catch Beowulf in
yes.
theaters this week, and
IMAX 3D.
Here's the thing about this film. Beowulf is a an epic English poem from, I believe, like 700 AD. It's one of the oldest examples of epic fiction in the modern world.
Kevin should hate it because it was written before 2003.
Yes.
Angelina Jolie.
And it is an epic story of a man, a warrior, Beowulf, who battles this demon Grendel and has to take on the mother of Grendel. It's an epic adventure story that it really has been taught in schools forever and ever, ever. Maybe you had to read it when you were in high school or college. But the thing is, it is also one of the great adventure stories of all time. And so when they decided to make a movie out of it, I was like, this is going to be awesome. Now, here's the thing. Robert Zemeckis, who directed this film, made it in the style of what they call motion capture animation. Which, if you're not familiar with it, if you saw Polar Express with Tom Hanks, it's the same sort of process. They get the actual actors, they put them up in these suits that the computer reads their movements and then reproduces them in computer-generated animation.
And it looks very lifelike.
It looks, here's the problem with it, it looks almost too realistic. It's not quite live action, and yet it doesn't quite look like animation. It sort of looks like a video game.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's the advantage of that? If you've got Tom Hanks anyway, why not just let him act?
Well, they do. They act out the story in these suits. So, for instance, this movie stars Ray Winstone, a great actor, as Beowulf. You've got Anthony Hopkins as King Hrothgar. John Malkovich as the King's Counsel, Unferth. Robin Wright Penn as the Queen. Angelina Jolie as Grendel's mother. You have all these actors, and they do act out the scenes in these suits. The computer captures those performances, and then computer animates their performances as well as all the backgrounds and all the special effects and everything else, all the other elements of the film.
Okay.
And puts them together seamlessly, in essence. That's
is this good or bad? I can't tell what you're saying.
Well, it's good in the sense that it looks amazing. But the problem is when you make something that looks that lifelike but it isn't quite lifelike, these characters are in animation what the animatrons are at Disneyland for people. You know what I mean? When you see the Pirates of the Caribbean and you see people like they got that weird unfocused sort of look in their eyes where they don't ever really sort of seem to be alive. So it's
right.
a little distracting. That's the downside of this film. The upside is it's a great script, a great story, and a great action adventure film.
I mean,
had it been done in live action, I think it would be one of the great movies of all time. I really do.
Wow.
It's that fun. But it is a little distracting, the fact that they have these sort of animated characters in it. However, all that being said, I enjoyed it very much, and here's why. I saw it on the IMAX screen in 3D. And if you're going to see this film, do yourself a favor. They've got a regular version out there. They've got a 3D version out there. And they've got an IMAX 3D version out there. Go see it in the IMAX 3D because it is one of the most amazing cinematic experiences I've ever had.
Cool.
The 3D is perfect. It's crystal clear. It is an amazing thing to experience this film in the three dimensions. It really will blow you out of your seat. And that added element to watching it, to the movie-going experience, more than makes up for sort of the distracting part of the stop-motion animation.
Glasses? No glasses in the 3D.
Glasses. 3D with glasses.
Gotta wear the glasses. Right.
But they're sort of like sunglasses. It's all done with polarized. It's not that old blue and green sort of blue and red, rather, 3D. Yeah. So it's very effective and it's very impressive. And Ray Winstone's performance as Beowulf is amazing. He is one badass. He is like Conan and Tarzan and John McClane from Die Hard all thrown into one.
He's like just, me in real life.
It's like you, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's a little scene from Beowulf where Ray Winstone announces to King Hrothgar, played by Anthony Hopkins, that he is intending to kill the monster that is plaguing the king's land.
They say your lands are cursed.
Is that what they say?
Bards sing of Hrothgar's shame from the frozen north to the shores of Vinland.
There's no shame to be accursed by demons.
I'm Beowulf, and I'm here to kill your monster.
Here to kill your monster. It's awesome. This is not for kids, though.
Not for kids.
Don't go thinking this is something to bring kids some Disney animated thing that the kids will enjoy. It is very graphic, very bloody, very violent, and there's a lot of animated nudity in it as well.
Ooh,
now we'll see Beowulf's broadsword, if you know what I'm saying.
Might be into that.
Wow.
And as Grendel's mom, a half-human, half-creature dealy going on, Angelina Jolie gets practically naked except for some sort of glittery gold sort of slimy substance on her, which is very interesting. Anyway, this movie takes a long, long epic poem and it distills it down to the most action-adventurous part of it all, and I'm telling you, you will really enjoy yourself if you go see it, especially if you see it in the IMAX in 3D.
Fantastic.
So check out Beowulf this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman Movie Beat.
You know, Santa Claus is in the news. Kevin, I don't know if you've seen this story. I know it may be early for you because it's before Thanksgiving, but Santa Down Under got some big problems.
Yeah, I saw the headline, and I am not a fan of that headline.
It seems ridiculous.
Santas have been warned that ho, ho, ho is offensive to women. So we said, we got to get to the bottom of this. We got to find out what's going on. So we asked Lightning to hook us up to the North Pole, and I believe, do we have Santa Claus on the line right now?
Santa?
How are you, Kevin and Bean?
We're very good. How are you today?
I could not be happier. You know, it's my busy time of year.
Well, that's what I was thinking as we were calling you. We're sorry to interrupt when you got, you know, you're at crunch time here, but this news story out of Australia has us very, very confused.
I'm not familiar with it. I'm sorry. I don't get a lot of time to read the paper or watch television at this time of year.
You're not going to be happy.
What's going on?
Well, the Daily Telegraph down there in Sydney. You go to Sydney, right? That's on your route, right?
I hit them all.
Okay. They're reporting that Santa Clauses are being instructed to no longer say ho, 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 which is something you've been saying for thousands of years, right, Santa?
Absolutely. That's my trademark.
Yeah. Well, apparently some believe it could frighten the children, and it is also, ho is a slang term for a hooker, for a prostitute, and some women's groups apparently are offended by that.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no. Whoa, Santa, hold on a sec.
What is this bullshit?
Santa, we're on the radio. You can't use that language, and I don't think you would want all the people hearing you say that.
What the f*** do they mean it's offensive?
They say it's offensive, like you're calling someone a hoe, so they need it to stop.
Okay, hold on. Santa, this is, I can't believe I'm hearing this with my own ears. This can't be how you talk.
I'm fed up with this problem. Little girls who are adorable grow up to be big mouthy
Oh, Santa.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
They just shut the f*** up.
Santa.
Okay. But, I mean, ho, ho, ho. I mean, we know it's crazy. I mean, that's not at all what you're referring to when you say that when you come into a room or down the chimney or you have the kids on your lap, right?
Of course not. It's me showing my happiness, my joy.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, and they're saying, why don't you come up with another way to show your joy?
How about this? Blow me, sucker.
Well, I don't think we'll be seeing that one on the Christmas cards or embroidered on the stockings anytime soon.
Why is the world so f***ed up?
I really don't know. They're also talking about how it's unhealthy for Santa to be fat anymore.
Oh, eat my a***.
Whoa.
Eat my hairy Satan, frostbitten a***.
I think the world is getting so politically correct now that people just want to rip everything up that's traditional and wonderful.
It makes me want to pack the whole thing in, quite frankly.
Oh, don't do that, Santa. I hope that's not true.
I'll put everybody on the naughty list and put a big piece of shit in their stocking.
Oh, that doesn't sound
good. There you go. Here's your Christmas you
And by the way, a lot of people are calling, emailing, real or fake, does it matter? No, it doesn't, as long as they're beautiful. We don't really care. We're all for man-made. We're all for God-made, right?
Yes, that's exactly. Correct. Okay. We're equal opportunity employers.
The other thing is K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. We have tickets coming up when you hear Linkin Park. We're going to play that soon. Be caller 20, and you will win tickets for night number one.
That's two things going on. And the third thing?
I thought I said two.
Right, but you missed there's three things going on.
And the third thing is the showbiz beat.
Third thing is we're at war with Japan.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Today I declared war in Japan, and I appreciate all the support. A lot of people behind me.
You can't
get a lot of emails who are supporting my war against Japan. Listener Brandon says we should use neutron bombs, which destroy other people, but keep the property intact. This way we can take all their good electronics and stuff.
Oh, okay.
When it's all over.
And their cheap cars.
Exactly. Okay. So we got that going for us.
I forget again. Why are we at war with Japan, Ralph?
Because they have issued an arrest warrant for Hayden Panettiere, the lovely and talented star of Heroes.
Right.
Because Hayden had the gall to get on a surfboard and try to put herself between some slaughtering local fishermen in Japan and a school of dolphins who they were murdering.
So because she stands up for what's right, all of a sudden she's the bad guy in Japan's eyes?
Exactly. They have issued a warrant for her arrest.
Well, that won't stand.
So I'm saying it's on, basically. It's on,
sure.
Japan. You're about to get served.
But I'm saying it's not Japan. There are millions and millions of people
before they were Japanese.
Probably one guy.
It's one guy. It's one guy in a boat that's killing all the dolphins.
That's right. No.
No.
Wow. You know what I'm going to do right after the show, Ralph? Thank you for reminding me. I'm going to get my Ichiro Suzuki jersey out of my closet and take it out on the front steps of the Capitol or whatever and burn it. That's what I'm going to do.
Thank you. Take it wherever.
You can go to SaveJapanDolphins.org for more information on what they're doing over there in Japan and why they're trying to arrest the beautiful and talented Hayden Panettiere.
And why they're bad and why they have about an hour to live if we have our way.
That's right. The countdown has begun. And a lot of support, and I look for WordJapan.com coming soon as soon as I can get it up later today.
It's not a website. You're not going to do it.
Not everyone, by the way, is thrilled with the idea. This comes from listener Joseph R. Ralph, you effing Jew.
What?
I'm sick and tired how you stereotype Asian all the time. How would you like it if I stereotype Jews? Better yet, how would you like it if I came down there and kicked the crap out of you?
I think that would be great if you kicked the crap out of Ralph.
What you are saying are fighting words, you effing Jew. I'm not kidding you, you effing Jew. You have been warned, you effing Jew.
Dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an a-hole.
Can I tell you the good news, Ralph, is you picked an excellent time in history to go to war with Japan because we've got a president who'll go for pretty much any reason.
For anything. Yeah, if I tell him, hey, G-Dub, they just issued an arrest warrant for Hayden Panettiere.
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe.
That's right. He's bobbing for less. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Joseph,
I have nothing against the Jews. I hate to tell you, though, I am not Jewish.
But nice try.
If you'd like to rewrite your hateful email and put Mick or Irishman or Drunken Irishman or something in there, that'd probably be more appropriate.
I hate to have to say this, but it's possible he's exaggerating for comic effect.
Oh, no. Trust me.
No, he's angry.
Not okay. This time.
Yeah, all right. Seemed like it to me, but okay.
No.
All right.
And anyone who would like to respond to Joseph Seymour, feel free to contact me. I'll give you his email address. It'd be very fun to torture him for a while.
We've got to get that Enola Gay airplane out of mothballs. Take it out of the museum and get it back in the air, I think.
Sure worked once, didn't it? Got the job done the first time. That's all I got to say.
They got short memories over there, those tiny little Japanese people.
Apparently they forget. They forget what it's like when you rouse the sleeping giant.
It's none of the people.
We are coming. And hell's coming with us. That's all I got to say. The words of Wyatt Earp. Jessica Simpson says she's looking for a man, not a boy. She's done with boys. She wants a man.
No, she didn't.
Yes. She said on The View yesterday, I can't believe I missed her on The View. Oh, God.
We taped it. I don't think we've gone through it. We taped it. She's one of the hosts, right?
Yeah, she's a guest
host. So
she
has to give her opinion.
She is looking right now for a man who wants to meet her grandparents right away, she says.
That don't sound sexy.
Will twirl little kids around, has a cute butt, and has the confidence to handle a strong, confident woman.
Okay.
Where are you going to find him one of those, Jessica?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's she talking about? Her sister Ashley?
She is done with boys. I want a man, says Jessica. And what
a bitch.
What does the man get in return really here, Jessica?
Bah, 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 bah.
That sounds...
Blah, 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 blah. He gets a retarded little girl with big hooters. Man wants that, Jessica. No. You're screwed. You should just get what you can get.
I'm just a white girl who can't dance. I can only push my tush.
That's right.
Speaking of big cans, remember the 23-year-old college student who was forced to leave the Southwest Airlines flight because she was too sexy to fly?
Yeah, they kicked her off. That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, never to miss an opportunity, Playboy has stepped up to the bat.
That's what I'm talking about.
She can currently be seen on the Playboy.com website wearing much less than she was wearing on that Southwest Airlines flight. And reportedly she will be in the magazine soon as well, but they wanted to get her up right away. So you go to Playboy.com if you want to see the girl who was too sexy to fly. She is in a series of photographs, some nude, some in lingerie, under the headline, Legs in the Air is the name of, of this shoot.
Like she just don't care?
Exactly.
Nice.
Legs in the air. See,
she was hot. You know what she isn't?
Japanese.
See?
What's wrong?
Another good thing about Playboy. Hey, you want to be in the Big Brother house?
No.
A lot of talking going
on
there.
I'll just move on then.
Not a lot of action.
What a boring show that is. How many nights a week is that going to be on with the writer's strike?
Eight nights a week.
That's what I thought.
With the strike, yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's people out there that want to hear.
If you'd like to go and audition to live in the Big Brother house, it's coming back early on CBS because of the writer's strike. They're looking for more reality television. It's tomorrow from noon to 3. You got to get yourself down to a place called Exclusive Casting Studios at 7700 Sunset Boulevard, Suite 200 in Los Angeles, California. And they will interview you and maybe you can get on Big Brother. Doto. And I don't do this kind of stuff too often, but I couldn't help but think about Bean.
Wow.
And wonder how many of these he has seen. They released today the list of the 5 worst museums in the U.S.
Oh, he's seen them all.
Worst museums. And I was thinking, I know Bean hates everything, loves everything that's bad.
Yes.
So I think, I bet Bean has been to 3 out of 5 of these worst museums in the U.S.
No question.
Just struck me. Let's see. Bean, you tell me if you've been there or not, okay?
Okay.
Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum.
I don't even know about that one.
In Farmington Hills, Michigan.
No.
No?
That's bad.
How about the Mustard Museum in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin?
That is on my list. It's so funny you should bring that up because, you know, I talked about planning a trip for the Edmund Fitzgerald wreck anniversary last week, and I was going to go to Michigan and Wisconsin, and the Mustard Museum is one of the places I was going to try to hit, but unfortunately the trip fell apart. I didn't go, but I will go there.
Ralph, you were not in here earlier today when Bean was talking about going to that museum.
Yeah.
I'm dying.
Today.
7 a.m. this morning.
Today.
That is so weird.
Hey, guys, you know what I saw? I just read there's something about a museum.
It is features historical displays and includes 4,000 different types of mustard.
See, that's why I want to go. I got to see that. That sounds awesome.
That sounds really awesome, Bean.
Are you even a mustard fan, Bean? Do you like mustard?
I do. I do like mustard.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Liberace Museum in Vegas. Everyone's been
there. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there, yeah.
Horrible.
The Museum of Questionable Medical Devices.
I have been there. That's in Minnesota, right?
He talked about that this morning, too.
It is. Yes, it is in Minnesota. That's right.
I have been to that one. That's very cool. Of course, Minnesota, they got a lot of great stuff out there.
And number one, the Museum of Bad Art. Yes,
well,
there's
that's
a
my
museum
house.
Dedicated just to bad art.
Hasn't been to that one.
Most museums.
Where's that?
You go to good art. This one is houses just bad art.
They call it good art. But
yeah. Dedham, Maine.
Oh, darn it.
Dedham,
I wish I'd known.
Dedham,
went to
Maine
a couple years ago. Didn't go to that. I need to. That's awesome. Thank you, Ralph.
There you go. There's something for your vacation plans over the holidays. You can check those out.
You know, there are people online. Of course, there's a group for everything. There is a group that collects boring postcards. There's an actual group that's their thing, is boring postcards.
You're the president?
I'm a member, but I don't I don't run the thing now.
Is there a club for boring blogs?
Maybe you could run for president of that council.
The most meaningless blogs out there. How dare you? Especially on Tater Tot Friday. How dare you? How dare you denigrate my blog?
See, I hate when he says that, Tater Tot Friday.
I know,
because
me too.
It fills me with false anticipation. Because I used to remember when I was in grade school, they had Tater Tot Friday in the lunchroom, and I get very excited about it. And every time he says it, it's like a Pavlovian response to that phrase. I get all excited, and then I realize he's talking about his freaking dog.
Picture
it's
the real dog. Tater Tot, right?
Today's celebrity birthday is Mark Helgenberger from CSI. She's 49 years old today. Diana Krall, beautiful, talented jazz singer and Elvis Costello's wife. She is 43 years old today. Lisa Bonet from The Cosby Show turns 40. And Maggie Gyllenhaal, very talented actress, is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I see Ralph is in here with his chubby because he's got we got his boyfriend on the phone. I see that's happening right
the
now.
The best goddamn broadcaster in television, Andrew Siciliano.
It's embarrassing, Ralph, that you have such a man crush, though. I mean, you're practically drooling as you're counting down the seconds
to
get Andrew on the
air. Do you watch what the man does every week?
I see the man's work. The man is excellent, but I'm just saying.
It's like 17 hours on Sunday he works, and he's just flawless. He's a savant, this man.
In comparison, I was drooling earlier when Ralph mentioned that Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to play a porn star this
weekend. Well, there you go.
Check
out Southland Tales.
Should be drooling over that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Andrew, of course, the host of The Red Zone on DirecTV. Go to DirecTV.com, look under packages and programming, and he does, he basically watches all the games for you, so you don't have to. Or you can do both. You can watch the games and watch Andrew. It's awesome. And what about this weekend? Not the marquee matchups that we've had in the last couple of weeks, but still some pretty interesting games, don't you think, Andrew?
You know, guys, I like this week because this is the first week since week, I believe, two, where nobody has a bye. So there are 10 games at 10 o'clock and 4 games at 1 o'clock. And you actually have good games. You have the Giants and the Lions. Believe it or not, that's a 6-3 battle. You have Kansas City and Indy. You have San Diego, Jacksonville. You have Pittsburgh and that one sucks. You have Washington and Dallas. It's actually good. And here's the thing this week is that because the Charger game is on at 10 a.m., if you want to watch the Raiders – and you're in L.A., you need Sunday ticket.
Sure.
I don't know why you'd want to watch the Raiders, you want to watch the Raiders, you have to go Sunday ticket.
Yeah, you got to watch Raiders against a Peterson-less Vikings team, which is not exciting.
This is Dante coming back to egg his old boss's house.
Excellent.
There's no reason he should start this game. Jamarcus Russell should start this game, but they're saying, hey, Dante, remember how those guys cut you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go mess them up.
Interesting. Go get them.
Let me ask you about a couple of these games, Andrew, because you mentioned Indianapolis. This was a team that was perfect until 2 weeks ago. Now, for any other team, you'd say it's a tailspin, but especially after the way they lost last week. Do you think they're going to be back to form, or do you think they have something to worry about?
I don't recommend gambling because that's illegal, I'm told.
Of course.
Yeah, but if you have a home, I'd put it on the Colts this week.
Okay, who are they playing?
They're at home against Kansas City. Look, Kansas City's better this year, but they're going with Brody Croyle, who is the star of Hard Knocks on HBO this summer. Actually, take it back. His wife was the star of Hard Knocks
this
summer.
Yeah, that's true.
They're at home. I don't know if they're going to be totally healthy. Marvin Harrison may still not play. Anthony Gonzalez is out. Dwight Freeney's out for the year. They're banged up, but there's no way on earth they lose this game at
all. So if I put my mortgage on that, you're going to cover me then?
I can't cover. Not
you can't.
With the subprime crisis right now.
Better not then.
But they're fine. You know what? Long term, I don't know if they can overcome the Patriots. We saw before that they could run with them. Now that they have to go to New England potentially for the AFC Championship game, that would be in trouble. But the other thing is that now they could hypothetically fall behind the Steelers and actually have to go to Pittsburgh before they go to New England. Injuries or no injuries, that's pretty
interesting.
Yeah, they're saying the Colts, if they have two road games on the way to the championship, would be very difficult for them to overcome because they're a dome team used to playing at home.
Right? I don't think they could do that if they had to do it twice. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the Oakland-Minnesota game, which is horrible, but I'm going to say, for my money, St. Louis-San Francisco is the worst game of the weekend.
It's absolutely awful, and the Niners should be embarrassed. The fact that on Monday night, their coach's dad died 2 days ago, all right? Mm-hmm. And Mike Nolan is as respected a guy as there is in the NFL. And they go up there on Monday night. He shows up 48 hours after his dad dies to work for them, and they refuse to work for him. They should be embarrassed. They should be embarrassed to pick up their checks this week.
Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins, who, of course, we're all now rooting for to go completely winless, to be the first team ever to do it in a 16-game season. Ricky Williams is now back in camp, back on the squad. What's the deal? He's eligible to play now, right?
No. Right. Actually, a couple of weeks. They get an exemption. He's going to practice for the first time Monday. He showed up at camp yesterday. They think he might be able to play in 2 weeks. I don't know why you bring him back unless you just want him to test positive one more time. He has 5 positive tests. So remember the old one for the thumb deal?
Right.
They want to get him that 6th positive test.
Yeah.
You talk about the Patriots. You talk about the Dolphins going winless. I think the possibility of a 6th positive test for Ricky Williams could be the most sought-after NFL milestone we have this year.
And you could test him as many times as you want. Yes. He's always going to be positive.
Absolutely.
That's the office pool we got to get going.
Morning.
Oh, dear God.
So you have no fear of Miami accidentally beating the Eagles this weekend, right?
Actually, I think they have a, I don't know about a good shot, but I wouldn't touch that game.
Yes.
How dare you, sir?
Yes.
No,
how
really,
dare
come on, you? They have to do it eventually. They have a rookie quarterback starting.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm suggesting that's the reason they're going to win this week. But have the Eagles done anything
no,
to
they suck.
Confidence this Ralph?
But
Ralph.
Last week against Washington, they held their own, played a pretty good game. Donovan looked more mobile than he has all season long.
And they could be holding their own on the sideline this week.
How dare you, sir?
Oh, all of a sudden you're not as in love with Andrew as you were before. How about that?
The red zone blows, by the way. Did I mention that?
Anyone could do it.
Anyone could do that hacks job.
All right, Andrew, let me ask you about the game that's near and dear to my heart. And I think, objectively and honestly, to me, this looks like a pretty even matchup with the teams as they're playing this year. And that's the Chicago Bears versus the Seattle Seahawks. What do you think?
You know what? It is even. Remember, these guys actually faced each other in the playoffs a couple of years ago, and Seattle won on its way to the Super Bowl. The Bears are 4-5. They get Rex Grossman back. Guys, I don't know which Rex Grossman we're going to see. The guy has this knack to just pull amazing big plays out of his you-know-what. He actually had 7 games last year where he had a quarterback rating of 100 or better,
wow,
which is Peyton Manning-like.
Yep.
But the other games, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL.
He was
was Alex Smith bad.
He was like Peyton Manning against San Diego is what he was like.
Exactly, except yeah. Seattle's at home. They're 5-4. They do have a short week, but they're healthy this week on offense. I don't go against the Seahawks at home, but it should be a good. It's either a good game or Rex gets picked off 4 times in the first quarter.
And Andrew, we got Carolina at Lambeau Field facing off against Green Bay. Is Brett Favre playing the best football of his career now at 37 years old?
He is, and here's the other thing. He has never gone 9-1. Keep that in mind. They are 8-1. He has never gone 9-1. But there is no way that Vinny beats them in Green Bay. There's no way on earth Vinny Testaverde or Matt Moore from UCLA or any other quarterback they throw out there can beat them at Lambeau.
Ralph, you have a question you want to ask Andrew before we let him go?
No, I've already cheesed off about the whole Philadelphia Eagles thing, you know?
He was going to try and come down and hang with you, but not anymore.
Hey, come on down.
Sorry, dude.
Come on down.
He's
we had
out.
An amazing spread.
He's out.
Not wanting any of it.
I was thinking, like, a cooler of beer, just sit there and watch the 97 screens you have on that giant wall and just kick back. You know?
If you bring me beer, you are welcome.
Do you have couches just off camera for fans to sit and watch you work on Sundays?
No, we do not have couches, but for Ralph, we would wheel one in.
I'll bring my inflatable Eagles chair. I don't need your stand.
But then you start talking about the Eagles. You're going to get a beer can upside the head.
You know what? The Eagles are going to win the game.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. There you go.
They could be the best team in football.
There we go. Now you're talking.
The Red Zone is on DirecTV. Go to DirecTV.com. Look under packages and programming or call 888-777-2454. By the way, this is not a commercial announcement. We don't have to say that. We say it because you're a loser if you don't have it because Andrew is that good.
And because you're good people.
Right, sure.
Exactly. Thanks, Andrew. We appreciate talking to you, man.
We know how it ends.
We are. Kevin Amede Show, 9:47. Time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Supermodel receptionist here at K-Rock. Janelle just made an announcement here in the building that we have to move our cars because the snow shovelers are coming through, Ralph. They need to clear out some lanes out there.
I told you, last time I got trapped. Remember the plow came by and put me in a big drift and then I had to dig my way out.
I know. It's very tough. I mean, it's brutal out there right now, which is why we're giving away passes to the K-Rock screening of Warren Miller's new ski movie called Playground, plus 4 passes to Ski Dazzle. That's happening at the L.A. Convention Center November 29th through December 2nd, if the weather is good enough that you can even get to the convention center. I don't even know how people are going to get there to see the ski stuff. It's so bad out there.
It's so cold out there in the parking lot. I saw the feral cats wearing parkas.
Really?
That's how cold it is.
Who gave them those?
Scott Mason.
Yeah, of course.
He sewed them himself.
So doubt it.
All right, let's begin with Aaron, I
that
believe.
That guy.
I can't read it. I think it's Aaron calling from Sherman Oaks. Good morning.
Hi. It's actually a chick, so sorry, Ross.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Aaron.
I'm never disappointed to find out it's a chick.
No kidding.
That's good.
What's going on?
I'm actually calling to defend Bean a little bit because we have something in common.
Oh, okay.
I don't have Asperger's, but I do have jury duty on Christmas Eve, actually.
And I'm so hot right now. So hot.
Wait a minute. Christmas Eve?
That's what I said. I know. I'm kind of bummed about that, but I'm excited about the fact that it's jury duty. So.
I can't imagine that they'll have any cases that will do anything on Christmas Eve. I mean, who wants to get started on something that you know you're then going to have to immediately recess? That's
right.
Weird.
Right, I know. So hopefully it'll, you know, continue after
that.
It'll
be funny. This is going to be the only trial in the history of human civilization where they're going to make them come back on Christmas Day, and Aaron's going to have to be there, and that's going
right.
to be funny.
You know, it's going to be some crazy dude who says he's Kris Kringle, and they're going to have to prove that he's not really Santa Claus.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those special magical moments.
And I'll send him away for life.
That's right. You will sentence Santa Claus.
Have fun with that, Aaron. Thank you for calling. Happy holidays. By the way, my jury duty is January 22nd, which is what? It's like 2 months and like 5 days or something like that until I finally get to serve. For the first time in my life.
Bean, why are you so excited about that?
I am not a winner.
That's true.
All right. You know, we've got a lot of tape to play for the DA there in Washington State before that happens.
So it may not be happening.
It may not be happening.
We don't screw with justice. Don't deprive me of my opportunity to send a minority to jail. Come on, Ralph.
We've been collecting tape just like that, Bean,
to
do a little break where we talk to the DA there in your county. So it should be fun.
That's going
to
be great. Yeah. Good morning. Is this Eve? I don't know why I can't. There's V.E. What's your name? What do I do with
Eve?
V.E.? What is it?
Steve?
Steve, okay.
Wow. That would have been a good guess. Dave also would have been a good guess.
I'm just saying, how about typing up the S-T and E? How about that?
Oh, Kevin, you need everything spelled out for you.
Dave is trying to conserve energy.
One of those very difficult names to pronounce.
All right. Definitely. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, well, I was just calling. I really appreciate all the calls that we get, but I have some very important information. This is more of a public service than anything for all the listeners out there.
Okay.
If you go to YouTube, there is this amazing video called The Condom Song, which happens to be an instructional video from Africa teaching you how to use a condom.
The Condom Song.
Sweet. Wow. Sounds great.
I promise it's worth 3 seconds of your time to check this out. There's dancing condoms and a very catchy tune from Africa.
Excellent. Okay. Now, this is not something you made. You found this.
I actually was just shown by a buddy the other day. No, it's definitely something I could not have made. It's actually sung in some sort of African language and then translated into English for you.
Fantastic.
Oh, I hope it's the click language.
I do, too. What would that sound like, Ralph? With dancing condoms on the screen, I'm in.
Wrapped a penis.
Thank you, V.E. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. Hey, let's go down to line 7 in Riverside and talk to Trick.
Patrick.
That's actually Patrick. Sorry.
Patrick.
Hey, guys.
Morning, Patrick. What's going on?
I saw Beowulf twice already.
How great is that?
Wow.
Once in 3D, once without.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
3D is the way to go.
Yeah, okay.
But there's something I noticed the second time through. He says, well, everyone says Beowulf, the name, 111 times during that movie.
Did you actually count?
You counted how many times they said that word?
It was the only way I could stay awake through it, dude.
Well, why did you go back a second time then if you didn't really like it that much?
I work at a movie theater, and I had to screen the movie.
You had to screen the movie?
And you have to stay through the showing? You can't just start
to make sure that it's been built properly and that the print's fine.
Huh. So you're going 12, 13, 14? That's your whole experience?
Well, that was it. A drink game. We know that now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's good. A drinking game. Good.
Sure.
Take a shot every time they say Beowulf.
If you didn't hear the movie beat earlier today, Ralph was given that very high marks as a film to check out this weekend. But not for the kids, you said, right, Ralph?
It is not. It is definitely a grown-up film. But.
Say good morning to Sean in Seal Beach, who has a charming story to tell us. Good morning, Sean.
How you guys doing?
We are good.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'll try to not go Mike with the story, but my wife was in Costco a few weeks ago with my two kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. And
you're already going a little bit Mike there, I think. By starting
sorry,
to,
anyway,
those ages
too much
better
detail.
Be important. They better be goddamn important to the story.
Yeah, they are. Anyways, the old lady that must be like 90-some years old has an eye patch in her eye, and she goes to my kids, compliments them about how cute they are, what have you. And my wife turns to one of my older son and says, "Hey, what do you say?" You know, trying to teach him to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And my son follows that with covering his one of his eyes with his hand and saying, "Arr."
That's
well
awesome.
Done.
So,
well
my
done.
My wife was rather mortified with the whole situation.
No, you're training your kids in the right way. Give the pirate sign back to the old woman. The old woman with the eye patch.
Right. That's fantastic.
That's all great. Right.
Well told, Sean. See, Mike, you could learn a little something from Sean on the phone there. It was a pertinent detail that he included and still told the story in less than 30 seconds.
Mike's not listening.
No.
All right. Let's close with why don't we have a surprise guest on the phone on line 2 that we can talk to make us all go out on the weekend with a happy, happy feeling.
Hello?
What's up, Kevin and Dave?
Oh, yeah! How are you, my friend?
Good, thank you.
It's great to hear from you.
Guess what I saw last Sunday? One of the producers who produced My Date with Drew with Brian, who's one of his friends. His name is John Gunn.
Okay, so I speak to one. So the movie that was made a couple years ago called My Date with Drew, all about a guy like you who loves Drew Barrymore and wanted to meet her and go out with her. You met this past week, and you met one of the producers of that film.
Yeah, John Gunn.
Okay. Okay, and did you talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to him, but I was shy. I told my best friend we want to meet him. So my best friend went up to him and talked to him.
Right.
And it's my friend, Dewan. He's a big Drew Barrymore fan.
Okay.
So my best friend pulled me up, and I say hi to him.
Excellent.
And we asked a few questions.
And did you kind of set up some way of maybe getting a hold of Drew and saying hi?
Yeah, I told him I'm the biggest Drew Barrymore fan. I love that movie, My Date with Drew. And tell Brian that I say hi, I met you and stuff.
And
I like him.
And they're making a sequel called My Date with Drew 2, and you're going to star in it.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on. That would be so great.
A vision, my friend.
Yeah. And his wife is in the movie, too, Lisa Gunn.
Okay.
Okay.
You met both the Gunns. That's great.
It's good to meet both Gunns.
Sure.
I haven't met his wife, though. I met him, though.
Oh, okay.
With the other guy.
Gotcha.
They were having lunch.
Okay.
As much as you love Drew Barrymore, have you given much thought to what you would say to her if you actually did get to meet her, Dewan?
Sir, I like her, all her movies. I like her movie Firestarter.
Okay. Yeah, that's when she was young in that one.
Four.
Okay. Yeah.
But Fever Pitch, that movie was awful, right, from a couple years ago, the one about the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
It was.
All right.
Enthusiastic, awful.
All right, Dewan.
All right, Dewan. Well, listen, we got to go. You got any big plans for the weekend?
I think I'm going to be busy, like, clean up the house.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
good
party.
Times.
Party at Dewan's.
Party on, dude.
All right, party on to you as well, dude.
Pour some flavor.
Bye, Dewan.
Bye.
Bye now.
See you later. That dude's the best of all time.
Yes, he is.
I want to thank our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, director, actor Morgan Spurlock, for joining us. His new film is called What Would Jesus Buy? And it opens up in 2 theaters next Wednesday here in Southern California. Also, thanks to the K-Rock listener, Matt, who is the star of our Ask a Mormon segment. By the way, a lot of complaints from Mormons that we didn't have an active LDS person on. But our experience has been, just so you know, because I'm not going to write back to all of you, is that if you're in the church, you don't tell the good stuff because you're protecting how wacky your faith is.
Yeah, we couldn't get the active Mormons to open up to us. That was the problem. So we had to find a former
certain things are kind of
LDS.
Secret.
And thanks to Andrew Siciliano for joining us, too. He, of course, is Ralph's boyfriend and the host of the Red Zone DirecTV channel. You can go to DirecTV.com to find out more about that. And he starts at, I guess, around 9:55 on Sunday morning. If you've got that channel, you got to check it out.
And I would like to thank Kevin, who says my birthday present is lost in the mail somewhere.
It's lost in the mail.
And not Bean, who said he keeps getting outbid on all the gifts he was going to get me on eBay. But I'd like to thank Doc, who knows how to shop for somebody for their birthday.
Look at that.
Who just gave me a big-ass bottle of Jack Daniels. So, Doc, I appreciate it. The one guy who knows how to actually shop for a guy's birthday.
And I'd like to apologize to my wife, because she bought Ralph a birthday gift maybe 2 weeks ago and wrapped it and had it on my desk, and it's been there for 2 weeks, and I forgot to bring it in.
Very creative story, Kevin. Congratulations.
Yeah, I buy that almost.
I'm telling you.
It's pretty good.
By the way, Ralph, you're the only guy I think that Doc is on good enough terms with that he buys a gift for his birthday. Of all of us on the show.
We actually like each other, Doc and I.
We're gonna
Why is that? How is it possible you can stand him?
You know why? Because we went through 9/11 together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That was quite a bonding experience. When we spent like 6 hours on the air dealing with what was happening with the Twin Towers at the time. And I think that will always be a source of camaraderie for us. It's like going through a war together, you know? When you're in a foxhole, you always end up being buddies.
It's weird that you had it worse than people who were actually in the World Trade Center that morning.
Oh, will you stop it?
All right, Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Masioka, who plays Hero on Heroes.
Yes, he's so good on that show.
Gene Simmons, and we will tell you how to buy tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Should I buy some pot?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
Roll another one, just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about
the way it works all weekend long, by the way. Hear a Linkin Park song, be caller 20, win tickets to night one. Hear a song from Muse, be caller 20, win tickets for night two. Pretty good deal. That starts with Cat Show coming up next here on K-Rock.
Roll, roll, roll.
Is bad, okay.
Just like the other one.
Now, exactly how much pot
this
did you smoke?
I don't have another cent.
I'm so high. Nothing can hurt me.
But the bumpers that joint just passing around.
Hi. Are you high? Something, kid.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
You may go. Here is a box for your things, but I doubt that that box will be able to contain all the memories that you have of this place. Fly away, sweet little bird. Fly away and be free.
And that is all.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.